ജയ ശ്രീപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ പത്യവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാഷ്ട്രീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം തിരിലാ പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ പത്ത് സിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാജ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശീല ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീയദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരിഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവന ധാമിക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമിക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമിക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗ പ്രേമാനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ഗൗരംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ് നമോ ശുഭദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വദേവി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗ്രഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധരമവാർണവാൻ ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാ നാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം മമ സാഗരേ പുനഃഭീമദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോസ്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യത് പ്രഭോ നാമസങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപപ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യതോന്വയാദിതരഗശ്ചാർത്ഥേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാൻ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തി യൽസൂരയാ തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷാം ാസ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മ പ്രോജിത കൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമത്സരാണം സദാ വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താവത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനികൃതേ കിംവാപരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്രകൃതി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭീ തൽക്ഷണാൽ നിഗമകൽപതരോർഗളിതം ഫലം ശുഖമുഖാതമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം വിപദ ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോ രസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നമ യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുഭേദമഭേദകൃത്യം വൈവാഹ്യനോ വിരഹകാതരമാജുഹാവ പുത്രേതി തന്മയതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനതോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരവേഗം അധ്യാത്മദീപമതിദീർഷദാം തമോന്നം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനുമുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ സ്മരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണൂകുണിതാദൃതാനനേന്ദോഃ മമ വാചി വിജംബദാം മുരാരേ മധുരിന്ന കണികാഭികാഭികാവേ നമാവോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനി നാമിനേ Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prajarini Nirvishesha Shunyavani Paschatya Deshadarini Srimal Guru Charanaravindabhyam Namah Vande Nandam Vrajastrinam Padarenum Abhishtasham Yasam Harigadot Gidam Kunani Bhuvanatrayam Gopi Charanaravinda Paramanave Namah Pidamparam Karavirajita Chakrashantham Kaumodagi Sarasijam Karuna Samudram Radha Sahayamadi Sundaramandahasam Vadalayeshamanisham Hudibhavayami Komalam Pujayan Venum Shamaloyam Kumaraka Vedavedyavaram Brahma Dasadam Purado Mama Mugam Karodi Vajalam Tantum Lenghayadi Girim Yalkrubatamaham Vande Paramanandamadhavam Shri Krishnaya Nama Shri Mandiradhyaya Nama Sarvatra Govinda Nama Sangirtanam Govinda Govinda Om Pathaya Pradibodhidam Bhagavadam Narayanena Swayam Vyasena Triridam Purana Muninam Madhye Mahabharatam Advaidam Radavarshinim Bhagavadi Ashtadashadhyayini Ambatvamana Sandhadami Bhagavadgide Bhavadveshinim Namostu Devyasa Vishala Buddhe Kullaravindayada Vatra Netram Yenatvaya Bharata Taila Purna Prajwalido Jnanamaya Pradiba Prapanna Parijadaya Totra Vetraiga Vanaye Jnana Mudraya Krishnaya Gita Mrdaduhe Nama Sarvavanishadu Gavu Dukta Gopala Nandana Partho Valsa Sudhir Bhokta Dukdham Gita Mrdham Mahat Vasudeva Sudam Devam Kamsa Chanura Mardhanam Devagi Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagadgurum Bhishma Dronadada Jayadrata Jala Gandhara Nilulpala Shalyagrahavadi Krubena Vahani Karnena Velakula Ashwathama Vigarna Khoramagara Duryodhana Vartini Sotirna Kalupandavairanadi Kaivartaka Keshava Parasharyavajasarojamamalam Gidarthagandhol Kadam Nanakhyanaka Kesaram Harigatha Sambhodana Bhodhidam Logai Sajjana Shalpadairaharahapebi Yamanam Muda Bhuyad Bharata Pangaja Kalimala Pradvam Sinashreyase Mugam Karodi Vajalam Pangam Lenghayade Girim Yalkrubatamaham Vande Paramanandamadhavam Yam Brahma Varunindra Rudra Maruda Svanvandidi Vestavair Vedair Sangapadair Kramaupanishadair Gayandiyam Samagaha Dhyana Vastita Tadgadena Manasa Pashyandiyam Yogino Yasyandam Vidasura Suragane Devaya Tasmai Nama
So, while talking about the karma, Krishna said in the ninth verse, what did he say? He said, Karyam ityeva yal karmam, niyadam kriyade Arjuna, sangam tektva bhalam chaiva satyaga satyo mada. That is the important verse there. Krishna is saying, the symptom of a person who is engaged in executing the karma in the mood of sattugunam or satyugam is sangam tektva bhalam jeva. That satyaga satyo mada. There is no sangam, And there is Sangam towards the karma. Sangam means attachment to a particular type of karma. In other words, he does not discriminate good karma, bad karma. That discrimination is not there in his mind at all. He doesn't think like that. It is karma at the end. It is karma. And then what else? Bhalam. Results of the karma does not disturb him inside. Whatever that comes from that. Remember yesterday we discussed this, that Krishna is not expecting us to be excel in our work. That's not what is expected from us. Whatever we are capable of doing with our capacity, we have to do it. What Krishna is expecting us is our relationship with karma, what that is. Is that with full of attachment and full of thinking this is good, this is bad? If that is the way it is, then it is not going to free us from the problem. In order to get released from this, Krishna's point is that the Sangam tektva bhalam chaiva. Sangam, attachment to a particular type of karma, thinking that this karma is good, this karma is bad, that's gone. That means sangam tektva. Your sangam has gone. Bhalam. Bhalam means results, expectation of any results from the karma. That's also gone. If both of them are gone, then Krishna is saying, such a tyagam, such a sannyasam is sattvigam. Sattvigam. So Krishna spoke to us these three different types of sannyasam or tyagam in the mode of ignorance, in the mode of passion, and now in the mode of goodness. So you can understand from that, what is the advantage? Advantage is this, that, so, yadu adhikrataha, sangam tektva bhalabhi sandhimcha nityam karma karodi, tasya phalaragadinam akalushi kriyamanam, andakaranam nityeja karmavi, samskriyamanam vishudhyadi. Which means, that, one who has qualified for the karmam, who is engaged in karmam, when he gives up this attachment towards the karmam, and also bhalaragadinam akalushi kriyamanam, which means that not concerned about the results of that karma, what kind of results are coming from that. If both these things are not there in a person, that is what purifies his subtle body. That is what causes the chitta shuddhi, as it is called. When these two things, so you can see the impact of karma on our spiritual development, you can understand from that. That when our attachment to the karma goes away, when our attachment to the, we are not concerned about the results at all, in this way karma continuously goes through the body, in that process the subtle body gets purified. The result of that is subtle body gets purified. Vishuddham prasannam alma lojana kshamam bhavadi tasya eva nitya karmanushtani vishuddha andakaranasya alma jnana abhimukhasya kramena tan nishta syad tad vaktavyam idi aha. In other words, if he conducts his nitya karmam in this way, all the nitya karmam in this way, his mind will get purified and he acquire the strength to face the alma, to face the soul. It requires some strength to face the soul, to come out of the body and to understand that we are the soul. It requires some strength inside. And that strength, Krishna says here, that akalushi kriyamanam andakaranam nityeja karmabhi samskriyamanam vishudhyadi. When nityena karmabhi, daily karmam, if any gets executed in this process, that samskriyamanam vishudhyadi, it conducts the samskaram. It develops, samskaram means purified. Samskaranam happens inside vishuddhyadi. It will purify that person. There is no other way. So karmam has a tremendous impact on our life. You know, this earthly planet itself is called karma mandalam. It's called karma mandalam. Freeing from this karmam means escaping from this world once for all. Once you are back in this world, you are under the clutches of karma. There's no choice there. You are under the clutches of karma once you are here. So after saying that, Krishna mentioned there also, in the next verse, he said, in the 10th verse, he mentioned there, that nadveshti kushalam karma, kushale nanu shajjade, tyagi sattva samavishtam, medhavi chinna samshaya. Remember yesterday we talked about that verse also. He said that medhavi, because he receives this knowledge of the self, therefore his medha shakti builds up inside and becomes a medhavi. And he gets confirmed within himself that this self-realization and being situated within the self is my ultimate goal in life. Nothing higher than that. I want to go back to my pure identity, who I am. Who I am, that awareness comes back to me. Who am I? That awareness comes back to me. At the moment I am thinking, I am this body, I am this mind, I am this intelligence. Different levels we are at, isn't it? When you are in the, most of the time we are in the platform of mind. Or sometimes we are on the platform of the body. Rarely we are in the platform of intelligence. Often we are in the platform of ego. So that is why Atma is word is used for body, for mind, for intelligence, for ego. Everywhere you can use the word Atma. Because the self depends where you are at. If you are in the body, body is Atma. If you are in the mind, mind is Atma. If you are intelligence, intelligence is Atma. But actually none of them is Atma. Real Atma is pure consciousness. Beyond all this body, beyond all the upadis, isn't it? So that is why Krishna is saying here that finally what happens to him is he gets freed from the grip of this body, mind, intelligence and ego, comes back to his pure state, who I am. And that is what was Krishna's state. When Krishna's activities, if you observe, you will see that he was not in the platform of the body, not in the platform of the mind, not in the platform of intelligence, not in the platform of ego. It was always, always in that state, who am I? That awareness in Krishna. Krishna knows who he is. So therefore, there was no crisis in Krishna's life at any moment. While in the battlefield of Mahabharata, millions were getting slaughtered and killed, no disturbances inside. When when Abhimanyu was killed, Subhadra's son, Krishna was not disturbed. Everybody else was disturbed. Krishna was not disturbed. Isn't it? Right in the middle of rasa dance, when normally a mind could be agitated, Krishna was not agitated. There also in the transcendental state, because Krishna knows who he is all the time. And similarly, while killing his uncle, Kamsa also, there are so many instances. Bhishma Vidamaha quotes all these things. In the Bhishma Stuti, if you read, you will see, after seeing all this, I understood who Krishna is, he says. He says that in several verses, in the Rajasuyam sacrifice, when Shishubala was throwing abuses at Krishna, kept quiet, didn't say one word. Because the agreement was with Shishubala's mother and Krishna was that till the 100th offense, I will tolerate. He can call me 100 times, abuse me. After the 100th offense, he will have to go from this world. At that time, Shishubala's mother knew that Krishna will be killing Shishubala. So when the 100th time Shishubala spoke abuse to Krishna, Krishna took the Sudarshanam and cut his throat. And Shishubala's Atma went into the sky, and you can see that shown in pictures also, and comes back and merges with Krishna's body. Merges with Krishna's body. So why is this? To indicate to us that always situated in the platform of Atma, that is Krishna. In the Rajasuyam, then in the Rasa dance, then in the Mahabharata war. And Bhishma Vidamaha says there, when Bhishma fought very vigorously against Arjuna and shot some arrows and blood starts coming from Krishna's body, Krishna said, I'm going to finish this old man now, and jumped out of the chariot with the disc in the hand. And it was that time that Bhishma paid his obeisances and told him that you can kill me now if you like. Because after he felt happy at that moment, and seeing that way Krishna jumped out of the chariot to finish up Bhishma. Because Krishna has taken a vow that he won't take the weapon, isn't it? So it was then that Arjuna is running after Krishna to pull him back, that you made given a word like this and you shouldn't break that word. Krishna was in a fiery mood at that time. But in all these circumstances, Bhishma says, I knew who he is. He says, I knew who he is. This is how Bhishma puts it.
Bhishma's realization. Similarly, you will see throughout Bhagavatam, Krishna's position is always like that. Always in the platform of the soul. Never in the platform of the body. Although Krishna's body is spiritual, but he doesn't have to identify with it. He's always saying, know very well that he is Brahmam. He is that Brahmam. Supreme Brahmam, as we call it. Purna Brahmam. Or Brahmam as we realize it. So that is important thing that Krishna is saying that unless we come to that state, this will not happen. So, such a person, ya adhikrita purushaha, pura uktena prakarena, karma yoga anishtanena krameena samskrita alma asan, janmadi vikriya rahidatvena, nishkriyam almanam atmatvena, sambuddha saha sarva karmani manasa sanyasya naiva kurvan na karayan asinaha naishkarma lakshanam jnana nishtam asnute. So, the person who is qualified for this, he engages in karma yoga and he purifies himself. And with the result of that he gets released from the impact of karma. Not only that, he knows the self, he realizes who he is. And because once you have realized who you are, then there is no more rebirth. Is it not? Once you know who you are, then there is rebirth is for the subtle body and the jiva. Jiva has rebirth. Alma has no rebirth. Once you have realized you are Alma and not the jiva, then there is no more rebirth after that. He gets released and because rebirth is a punishment. Rebirth is a punishment. Accepting another body means it's a punishment. Is it not? So he gets over that punishment by going back to his own pure identity. Where is the rebirth then? Once you realize who you are. So, and he comes to that state, naishkarma lakshanam. That means he gets released from the karma as well. And, iti edat purva uktasya karma yogasya prayojanam anena shlogena uktam. So, this karma yogam's benefit, in the last several verses, Krishna has spoken. That's what I'm saying. Iti edat purva uktasya karma yogasya prayojanam anena shlogena uktam. Through many verses, Krishna has spoken about this benefit of karma yoga. Throughout the first six chapters, which is karma yoga, and now again in this 18th chapter, Krishna is summarizing the whole thing and saying the benefit of karma yoga. How karma yoga purifies a person. Ya punaha adhikradaha san deha alma abhimanitvena deha brad ajnaha abhadida alma kartrutva vijnana nadaya aham karta iti nishchita buddhihi tasya ashesha karma paritiyagasya ashakyatvad karma phalatyagena chodita karma anushtane eva adhikaraha na tatyage iti edam artham darshayita maha. So, what is our misunderstanding? Our misunderstanding is, body is doing karma. Body is doing the karma. And this body is me. This is our understanding. Is it not? At the moment. And that is what is called the state of ignorance or state of ajnanam. State of ajnanam or avidya is that. Body is doing the karma and I am this body. This understanding. Isn't it? And when he comes to know that alma has nothing to do with the karma. Karma is done by the body and the mind. Isn't it? Karma happens in the prakriti. In the upadhi mandalam, karma happens. Not in the spiritual plane. It happens in the upadhi level. So Krishna is saying there that karma is performed by the body and I am identifying with the body. I am identifying with the body. And that is a misunderstanding of ajnani. Ajnani means one who is ignorant. One who is ignorant. You see, from the spiritual plane, when you look at things, everything is different. For example, if people ask us, is this world real? What will be the answer? The answer is like this, that in the ignorant state, the world is real. In the realized state, the world is not real. Isn't it? In the ignorant state, the world is real. That is what it is, most of the people will say. How can you say the world is not real? That means the person is ignorant. In the ignorant state, the world is real. In the realized state, the world is not real. Because it's only a manifestation of the Atma from inside. So here, Krishna is saying here that he realizes, in the realized state, he realizes that Atma has no connection with the karma. Atma has no connection with the karma. And he is, does not think that giving up karmam is going to cause any problems from that, for that person who has come to that understanding. Giving up karmam is not causing any anxiety in his mind. Therefore, he knows very well that he has got the right to do the karma. To engage in karma, he has got the opportunity and he has got the right to do it. But he has no freedom to give up karma. Remember this, Krishna mentions this in the Bhagavad Gita in the beginning itself. Karmanye va adhigaraste. Adhigaram is there. Ma bhaleshu kadachana. Expectation results, he doesn't have any, he is not allowed to expect any results from that. Ma karma bhalahe durbhur. And when the karma bhalam, results are coming from the karmam, he is not responsible for that. So many misunderstandings we have about karmam, isn't it? And Krishna finishes up all that in one verse itself. Karmanye va adhigarase. That you should do the karmam. Krishna is saying, you cannot escape from the karmam unless you are such a jnani, realized about the truth at birth or in early life, if you have realized it. That means if there is no karma vasana inside, then in a natural way, you will remain in that state, freedom from the karma. But majority of the people belongs to this category. We all have karma vasana inside. Therefore, Krishna is saying, karmaneva adhigaraste. You are qualified or you are expected to do the karma. Karmanya adhigaraste. Ma bhaleshu kadachana. But the results of that karma, you shouldn't expect what is going to be, whatever it may be. Then, ma karma bhalahe durbhur. And your work is not the cause of the results. This is an interesting concept, isn't it? That normally, who will agree with this principle, if you tell me, in the what Krishna is saying? Ma karma balahe durbhur. Who will agree in this world if you tell them that you are not responsible for the results of your karma? If you have realized that, you have realized Bhagavad Gita properly. It's so difficult it is it not? So things like that, that's what makes Bhagavad Gita's purity and Bhagavad Gita's message so strong. Ma karma balahe durbhur. Karma bhalam and your work has no relationship. Remember this, Krishna mentions this in Na karma bhala samyogam svabhavastu pravartade. Earlier he mentioned this. Karmam and bhalam, there is no samyogam. There is no relationship. Again Krishna is saying that same thing. Ma karma bhala hedurbur. Made sangostva karmani. But because of that, you can't refrain from karmam. You have to. Akarmatvam, akarmani. Akarmatvam means not doing karmam. You can't do it, Krishna says. So, a lot of things about karmam, Krishna has clarified in this chapter, in the beginning, summarizing all the previous chapters. So he is saying like that, and that is what we have seen yesterday, and we also mentioned there at that time, that sangam tektua bhalanija, that's the main thing Krishna mentions there, isn't it? So, instead of clearing the doubt, you're clearing the person who is doubting. That's more important, isn't it? You can see the thought behind it, how intelligent that is. We are busy with clearing the doubts. Krishna, that is why, in many instances, I mentioned this also before, in the Bhagavadam, when Uddhava kept on asking, Krishna is answering something different. Because Krishna knows answering all these doubts is not the solution to the problem, isn't it? So many places you will see. In Bhagavad Gita also, in many instances, Arjuna is asking something, Krishna is answering something else. Because the problem is that these doubts, you don't clear them. It's a tradition among the rishis also. Sages also follow the same path. They won't clear your doubts. Including Lord Buddha did the same thing. They won't clear. That is why I'm saying, Buddhism is not much different from Vedantam. In many ways, it's the same thing. Except that, a person came in the middle. That's where the problem came. That before that, otherwise philosophically, the position of Buddhism and Sanatana Dharma, there is not a lot of difference. All that what he realized is the same as in the Upanishads. There's not difference at all. The difficulty came when after Buddha's departure, the followers developed a personality around Buddha and a separate religion like Ism was formed, like Hinduism, like
other isms. So many isms came out. But that is a later development. It is not at the time of Buddha. When Buddha realized the truth, he was realizing the Upanishad's knowledge. Nothing different than that. But similarly, you can see here that the process of realization is very much the same. He's saying that questioning the doubts clearing is not the process. Instead, who has the doubt? Who has the doubt? That's the question. So when you do that, when you, instead of clearing the doubts, when you start asking this question, who has the doubt, and you are killing him, that person. He disappears at that time, because Atma cannot have any doubt, can it? Atma by very nature itself is, he is full, always perfect, isn't it? Purnamada, purnamidam, purnal, purnamudachyade, purnasyam, purnamadaya, purnameva avashishyade. What is that purnada? Purnada is this, perfection in everything. In Atma. Soul is perfect all the time. There is no doubts in the soul. Doubts is all in the mind and the other areas. So, when we clear this doubts, killing that person who has the doubt, that is what is called pratnya or metha. Metha. So, this metha shakti, what it is called, Krishna uses the word, medhavi chinna samshaya, he says here. Isn't it? See that in the 10th verse, Tyagi Sattva Samavishta Medhavi Chinna Samshaya. Medha means this rooting out this ego inside. Rooting out the ego is the one which has got the doubts. The ego has the doubts. So rooting out the ego or rooting out the mind. Mind, ego, they are all one and the same. We call by different names due to the functional name, that is. Due to its function. When it is Chittavritti, we call it as mind. When it is ego, ahankaram, we call it as false ego, in other words. So, who is having these doubts? What is that doubt? Doubt is this. So, I am, always thinking I am. Who is this I am? And I have got a doubt. People say like that, isn't it? I have got a doubt. My karma, I have to do this work, that work. My life, all these things, these are all centered around this ahankaram inside. False ego inside. It has no any real existence. It's all false. My karma, my life, and my doubts, they are all on the same level. They are all false. My doubts, me, my doubts, and my life, my karma. So, this ahanda or ahankaram, it is a brahmam inside. It's a brahmam. Brahma means it's a kind of illusion inside. It's an illusion inside. And on that illusion, it is centered around that illusion, our life is. Our life is centered around that illusion. And the whole material existence is based on that. Whole material existence is based on that. So when you start inquiring, what is the nature of that false ego inside? And if you further inquire more, a little bit deeper, self-inquiry becomes, it is like peeling off the onions. When you peel the onions, you keep on peeling off. There's nothing inside at the end, isn't it? It's all different layers. You pull out. And finally, when you look inside, there's nothing there. It is like that. So, when you keep on looking at who is this, I am, from inside, telling me that I got my karma, got to do, I got my life to live, I got my problems of life, I got happiness, when you keep inquiring this, who is this I, who is saying all these things, there is nobody there. So what is there then, what is left behind is, Krishna is saying to us, that unbroken, akhandam, sachidanandam, Atma, who is present inside, he is the one in whose presence all these things are happening in the same time. And his power is working. Who? Atma. Atma's power is always working. And who knows that? Medhavi. Medhavi chinna samshaya. He is clear in his head. He is clear himself that chinna samshaya. He has no doubts that everything that's happening is due to the presence of Atma inside. Atma is causing all other activities inside the body. So therefore, once that has happened, Medhavi Chinna Samshaya, if that happens, good karmam, bad karmam, all goes away. It doesn't exist because it's all false. Good karma and bad karma. Because who gave this, says this is good and this is bad? The mind. Is it not? It's the mind's concoction that some karma is good, some karma is bad. So whatever karma it may be, that without any sangam, without any attachment to it, with full renunciation, tyagam, if it is executed, then all the doubts will go away and you will get established in the self, established in Atma. This is the point Krishna is making in that verse. Na dveshtya kushalam karma kushalena anushajjade tyagi sattva samavishte medhavi chinna samshayaha. Na dveshtya kushalam karma kushalena anushajjade tyagi sattva samavishte medhavi chinna samshayaha. His position is, Krishna is explaining, that person who has reached that state by executing the in the karmam, in the sattvagunam, in the sattvagunam, by renunciation the sattvagunam. So, for example, suppose you have given up all the karmam. Sometimes people get this idea, isn't it? And they go into solitude. Say you go to Badrinath or Kedarnath or places like that, or Himalayas, somewhere in the Himalayas, there's so many caves there. Can go and sit in one of those caves and sit there alone, completely aloof from the world. You can sit there. Are there not people doing that? Yes, there are sometimes people go and sit there. Is that not a happy state? So, whereas here in the world, so much hassle, isn't it? Society expects so many things, family expects so many things. Everybody is expecting from you so many things, and all that has to be fulfilled, and that becomes a, and you have to listen to so many people, and so much responsibilities and other things. All these problems are there. So, instead of having all this headache, why not leave all these things? Go into solitude there, and why not sit comfortably in one of the caves there? Don't bother about what goes on here, how nice and comfortable it is. Sometimes when they ask this question, one Mahatma said to him, go and give it a try. And that's all he could say. He said, just give it a try and see what happens. So, first thing, he knew very well, these people who say that, they will only talk, they won't do it. They will not go. Because if they decide to go there, to sit in the solitude for some time, that you will know that it is not possible in solitude, even if you go to Himalayas. It is not possible because all the problems inside will start coming out when you go there. It will start coming out. It is at that time you know that this thing called solitude or in solitude is not so easy what we think about it, isn't it? And because without our knowledge, there is a lot of knots inside us, which is not in our knowledge. There's a lot of knots inside. We will think that we are not bound anywhere. But there is a lot of knots inside, which is already tied down, isn't it? And these knots is in the form of bondage. And they, what we call it as the chain which you cannot see. The chain that you cannot see. And it is there. And all those knots and chain, which is chained us here in this world, that will not let us fly freely from here. It will not let us free. Therefore, it is not possible to do it. Look at the next verse, what Krishna says. It's not possible. That is the next verse. Next verse itself is Krishna saying that, don't go in that direction, it won't work.
Nahi dehabrida shakyam tektum karmanyasheshata yastu karma bhalatyagi satyagi tyabhidiyate. Nahi dehabrida shakyam tektum karmanyasheshata yastu karma bhalatyagi satyagi tyabhidhiyate.
Yeah. So, Krishna says that it is indeed impossible for an embodied being to give up all activities. But he who renounces the fruits of action is called one who has truly renounced. So, karmam you can't give up. Krishna says, it's there. That akarmatvam is not possible. That is what is called akarmani. Akarmani means one who has no karma. That is not possible. But it is possible for someone who, jnani, it is possible. He is in the akarmani stage. But for ordinary people like us, akarmatvam is not possible. That is what Krishna is pointing out there. So let's look at that verse, what Krishna is saying there. That
nahi asmal dehabrido deham bibharti idi dehabr dehal bhimanavan dehabr uchade nahi vivegi sahi veda vinashinam ityadina kartrutva adhigaratva nivartidaha adatena dehabrida ajnena nashakyam tektum sanyasidam karmani asheshada nisheshena tasmal yatu ajnaha adhikritaha Nityani karmani kurvan karma bhalatyagi, karma bhala abhisandhi matra sanyasi satyagi idi abhidiyade, karmi api san idi stutya abhiprayana. See here, Krishna is saying, one who has got a body, he is called shariri. One who has got shariram, shariram means body, he is called shariri, one who has got a body, isn't it? And he has got also this misconception that he is the body. He is the body. And out of these two, out of that, Alma is the one which doesn't get destroyed. That live forever, isn't it? It's eternal thing again, Alma. Whereas, he does not know that the body is the one which is going to get destroyed, is going to die, isn't it? And because of that, because he does not know this, he will say that, yeah, body will die one day. But he does not know that. In his inside, still he is thinking that the body will remain. That is why we'll fight till the last minute, isn't it? By all means, to keep it going. Because we think in our, inside our head, it is, body can live forever. It is a false, but it's a, Brahman it is. Illusion inside. This is called illusion. He does not know that the Alma inside is the eternal thing. That he doesn't know. He thinks that body will remain forever. And he try all his life to keep this body going as much as possible. And he does not know that truth. That's what he's saying here. Nahi yasmal deha brudo deham bhivarti idi deha brud. Dehaatma manavan deha brud uchyade nahi vivegi. He is not a vivegi. There is no vivegam inside. Vivegam means discriminatory power inside. Sahi Veda Vinashinam. If you look into the second chapter, Krishna mentions this. 21st verse. If you look in the 21st verse, in the second chapter you will see there. That misconception, how strong it is inside, he says, Veda Vinashinam Nityam, he says. Yeah. Veda Vinashinam Nityam Ya Enam Ajam Avyayam Katham Sa Purusha Partha Kam Ghatayadi Handikam. He is asking that, Arjuna Krishna is saying there, O Partha, how can a person who knows that the soul is indestructible, eternal, unborn and immutable kill anyone or cause anyone to kill? It's no question at all, is it not? But you can see in the world when we look around, what do you see? None of this knowledge is in their head, isn't it? Killing each other, fighting each other and always trying to thinking that we got control of this and somebody else comes and kills them and they take the control of this. So that is called Maya. This is called Maya. So in that verse, Veda Vinashinam Nityam Ya Enam Ajam Avyayam Katham Sa Purusha Partha Kam Kathayadi Handi Kam. Krishna has asked this question to Arjuna before. And that's the same thing here also. Krishna is saying here that so because of this problem, what's the problem? Problem is identification with the body. That not able to accept it, that I am not this body. He identifies with the body and he thinks the body will remain forever. These two things. Identifies with the body and thinks that the body will remain forever. And because of that, he is unable to give up the karma. Because of that. You see? For
First problem is that he is thinking that he is the body. One mistake. Second problem is that body will remain forever. We will say to people, oh, one day we have to die and all. But you know, nobody thinks themselves that they're going to die. They're always thinking, it will go on like this. Let's see where it comes to. We'll see at that time when it comes. Isn't it? Finally, when you have to call the 999. At that time also you are thinking. The 999 ambulance people will say, it's finished, it's going, go. Only thing is, just sometimes some of them even think like, they won't tell you that. All this halagula we make, honking and lights flashing around and running through all the streets and roads everywhere. And we have to save the life, isn't it? Overtake all the traffic to get to the front of the hospital to save the life. Doctors also say like that, we have to save the life, isn't it? They say, oh, nobody can save any life. The life is meant to go, it will go. Nothing can be done about it. So this is all a succession of that illusion inside, that I am going to stay, I will not die. And as much as the person who is dying is thinking the way, all his relations is also thinking, somehow he will escape. I'm sure it will come out okay at the end. And when, thing has gone from inside, then they say, what can be done? This is not the fate of everybody. We say like that and we'll all go home peacefully. After that, it is the fun of the whole thing. So, so because of all these things, we find it difficult to give up karma. Karma is like that. The karma is in the body, in the mind. Vasana is there and it will do its part. And therefore, that is difficult for us to get. So Ajnani will continue to do karma. There is no question about that. As long as there is Ajnanam there, karma will be there. So if you can give up the result of that, then he can be called as a Tyagi or Sannyasi. Kim puna tal prayojanam yal sarvakarma parityagasyal idi uchade. Then why sarvakarma sannyasam? Why give up all the karma? That question will come, isn't it? So here, let's look at this way. Krishna saying here that nahi deha brada shakyam. That is what he begins with, isn't it? Nahi deha brada shakyam. And tektum karmani asheshada. Actually, it is Krishna's one of the famous statements. Very famous statement in the Bhagavad Gita. Nahi deha brada shakyam tektum karmani asheshada. Karmani asheshada. Krishna is saying there that so long as you have a body, as long as you carry a body, as long as you carry a body, and that one who carries his body, we are all carrying our body with us, isn't it? So that is why it's called that word, what Krishna has used, look at that word, deha brudha. Deha brudha means each one of us is carrying our own body with us, wherever we go. So one who carries his own body with himself is called deha brudha. Krishna is not saying you are the body. Instead, Krishna is saying you are Atma and you are carrying your body with you. So such a person is called Dehabrat. And as long as that body is there, and it is not a simple mechanism. This body is not a simple mechanism as you think about it. That is the point Krishna is making. Nahi Dehabrata Shaktyam Tektam Karmani Asheshada. Because this body, in Krishna's words, it's a big universe. This body is a big universe. We, of course, with our scientific knowledge and other things, we have made this body to appear as though it's a simple mechanism. It's not a simple mechanism. That's what Krishna is saying to us. That this body itself is like a universe, Krishna is saying here. And Krishna has not given this to us either. Krishna has not given this body to us. This is the important understanding. That we think that we have got this body, isn't it? We think we have got this body. We haven't got this body. We haven't got this body. We don't have the ownership of this body. Actually, it is difficult to come out of all this false understanding what we have in our head. Oh, I got this body and I know what I have to do with this body, what medicine I should take and what's the solution. So many illusions in our head. What Krishna is saying to us, Nahi dehabrada shakyam tiktam karmani asheshada. He's saying you are a dehabrad. Dehabrad means you are carrying. I've given it to you and you are carrying it with you wherever you are going, isn't it? And ownership is not in our hands of this body. Why? Because what is the proof? Because we don't know when it's going to die. That itself is the proof. Is it not? The fact that we don't know when this body is going to die is the proof that we don't own the body. If I own the body, I know when it's going to finish, is it not? But the fact that I don't know when it's going to die, it can die at 40, it can die at 60, it can die at 80. Whichever day, whenever it's due, it comes. And it happens to different people at different times in life, is it not? So, if you look at the obituary on the newspaper, and you look at the, they are sometimes put how many years old they were, you see a variable right from 30 or 40, right up to 80, 90, 100 also. People dying at different levels, different ages. What does that indicate? It's indicating to us that you don't know when you will die, and therefore, therefore, how do you say that it's your body? If it is your body, and if you think it is your body, you should know this, isn't it? When the body is going to die. So, in fact, if I'm going to die tomorrow, I don't have any indication today that I'll be dying tomorrow. It can happen that way. It happens in life, isn't it? No information comes to me in advance from anywhere that you are going to die. So, not only that, body does not give any information apart from that, and body is never has any connection with us. This is Vedantam. Vedantam is making this very point very strong and very clear about it. Body had no connection with you. Body had no connection with you. Why do we feel then it's my body? Because of my ego. My ego. That is the cause of this. That ego is the one which is connecting me with the body. Which is connecting me with the body. And anything what is happening inside the body, I'm not aware of what is going on. Whether it is the blood circulation, whether it is the functioning of the liver, whether it's the functioning of the kidney, or the heart, or the brain, none of them, I don't know how it's working. I haven't got a clue of any of these things. You can say from the medical text, this is how it works and all that. But am I aware of all those things? What's happening inside the body? Nothing. All I know is how to eat and how to go to the toilet afterwards. That's all I know about it. What else do I know what is going on inside this body? And still I am saying that it's my body. That itself is a proof, isn't it? You don't know when you are going to die. You don't know what is going on inside this body, as far as the different organs are concerned. And medical science is telling us that this is how it works, this is how. But in my experience level, I haven't got a clue. When the food is taken, all I know when it goes up to this point is finished. After that, I haven't got a clue what happens after that. Isn't it? Then it's a process that goes through so many different things happens. And Shastram tells us so many things that the solid part of the food is most heavy part gets destroyed and rejected. Some part of it is accepted in the form of flesh or blood, and part of it turns into the mind. So many complex things are happening. Even the most famous doctors and medical scientists, even they are baffled by this thing called body. Thing called body. In spite of all that, I'm just saying it's my body, my body, my body. I keep repeating this, it's my body. So, so that is what is called Brahmam, illusion inside, isn't it? So, when you look at it that way, you can see there is somewhere some problem inside us. Problem is that ajnanam, avidya inside us, isn't it? And how strong and how big that avidya is inside, ajnanam inside. And one has to be so ignorant to say that this is my body, is it not? When you know that this is the real situation, to say that this is my body, I have to be so deeply ignorant to make that claim, isn't it? I don't know anything what goes on inside this body, and still I am able to say it's my body. So, similarly, when you don't, when you don't know what is going on inside the body, when you don't know when it is going to die and drop off, equally Krishna is saying that the karma that comes through that body, just like the digestion, just like the breathing, just like the blood circulation, similarly, the karma that is going to come through this body, the control of that karma is also not in our hands. You see? Very important thing. Just like we don't know in this body what happens with the heart, what happens with the liver, what happens with the kidney, what happens with digestion, what happens with the blood circulation. None of them is in my knowledge. It is all happening somehow, and we don't know anything what is going on inside this body, and we also don't know when this body is going to drop off one day. That also we don't know. Krishna is saying, similarly, the karma that is going to come through this body, the control over that karma is also not in your hands. Not in your hands. Because, now, to give up this body, that power we have got. To that power we have got. Not through death, but to give up, let me explain that. To give up this body, that power we have. To give up this body. Not through death. Because by dying, it will not be given up. Another one will come. This will go, but another one will come. But another body will come. So by dying, problem is not solved. By dying, problem is not solved. So then, how will you give up the body? How can we give up the body? Through knowledge. That's the answer. That's what Krishna is saying. Acharya Swamiji makes it also in this verse very clear. That through knowledge it will happen. How do you know that? Is it not happening in the deep sleep every night? In the deep sleep state, is that not what's happening? That you are leaving the body, isn't it? So it is possible to leave the body, and that is the only way. The proof of that is the deep sleep state, that you can leave the body. Only thing is, in deep sleep state we give it up, but when you come to awakened state, we bring it back again. It comes back to us. It's not leaving us, is it not? So when that experience in the deep sleep state, when that happens in the awakened state, if you can able to bring it back to the awakened state, then the body is not existing anymore. This body will go. So without the body, in a happy state, you exist in the deep sleep, is it not? So in the awakened state, if you realize this through knowledge, that I am not this body. I'm not this body. This body is not mine, and this body is not for me, for my enjoyment. I'm not this body. Body is not mine, and body is not meant for my enjoyment. This decision in the vacant state, we have to make first to get that experience of the deep sleep state. So, I'm not this body is Vedantam. I'm not this body is Vedantam. Body is not mine, actually it belongs to Krishna or Prakriti, whichever way you call it. Bhagavan or Prakriti, Krishna or Prakriti. Krishna's Prakriti it is, isn't it? So it is Krishna only, not different at all. Prakriti, when we say Prakriti, it is whose Prakriti? Your question will come. It's Krishna's Prakriti. Krishna created that Prakriti in that way. So, making that understanding clear, that body is not mine, it is Krishna's or its Prakriti, it's called Sankhya. That's Sankhya. I'm not this body, is Vedantam. Body is not mine, it is Krishna's or its Prakriti, whichever way you address it is Sankhya. And body is meant for Krishna's. It's not meant for my enjoyment. It is meant for, and it is meant for Krishna's. Krishna's it is. So Krishna has a right to do what he wants to do with it. And Krishna mentions here in this verse that as long as you have this body, Krishna is telling us, best thing is to accept it as it is. He's saying to us, as long as you have a body, you won't be able to stay away from karma. That is the statement here. Nahi dehabhrada shakyam tektum karmani asheshada. There is no question of giving up karma when you are carrying a body with you. That is the statement. Krishna's statement is, as long as you are carrying a body with you, there is no question of giving up karma. And that means, as long as the karma vasana is inside, if that has not gone away from inside, karma vasana has not gone away from inside, you will never that thought of Atma, of the realization of the self, will wake up inside. This is the problem. Because you have a body, and because there is karma vasana inside, and as long as this karma vasana is inside, what will happen is, and once that has not gone away, up to that point, this awareness of Atma, of my own awareness, who I am, as the self, awareness, avabhodam, consciousness, whichever way we call it, that won't happen.
So you can see this artificially, by some method, ashtangam, yogam, or pranayam, whatever way it is, if you try to control the mind, for some time it will stay like that. It will stay like that. But as soon as that process you've taken out, that method, then again the mind will start its work. Is it not? You know how the mind works, isn't it? You can control the mind sometimes with the because mind is the one which is making us identify with the body. Is it not? So, say it's through some process of Ashtanga Yogam or any other yoga process, Raja Yogam, Hatha Yogam, there are so many ways they do that. That you've got a control over the mind. But it will only remain in that state only when you are in that yoga state. When you are practicing Hatha Yogam, when you are practicing Raja Yogam, or when you are practicing Ashtanga Yogam, only at that time it will remain in that state. As soon as you come out of that dhyanam or meditation, again it will start its function as usual. Which one? The mind. Mind will work. So one thing you have to realize is you can't cheat Prakriti. Prakriti you can't cheat. You can't cheat the Prakriti. We are thinking that through some technique or some method I can get over this Prakriti. Prakriti's process or Prakriti's method. Isn't it? Or I can cross over this Prakriti. But till now nobody has found out any process by which nobody has got them with them to get over the Prakriti. Get over Prakriti. So in Prakriti there is no way you can escape Prakriti. This we have to accept it. Krishna is saying to us, the right best thing is if you accept it, everything becomes a lot easier. But instead, if you start thinking that there is some way, shortcut to get over this problem of Prakriti, then we have misunderstood. So, sometimes people claim that there is some process of getting over the Prakriti. You have to know the person who is saying that he himself is within the Prakriti. It has happened many times. Sometimes some yogis, for example, through yoga process, they manage to extend their life to some degree. Some years they can extend it, but finally they also had to surrender. They also had to surrender. There are so many stories like that. You can see, even if you go on the YouTube, and you will see, look at the some of the yogis who lived up to 150 years, 160 years and all that. But ultimately, they also had to leave the body. It's not permanent, that's the point. That is the proof that even him, that person is also in the control of Prakriti. Ultimately, he also has to surrender. He cannot escape from that. Sometimes you see in the Acharya Parampara also, in many disciplic successions, there were great yogis also. There were sannyasis, and there were jnanis, and there were yogis also. So what happened to them? Some of them were capable of extending their lifespan through yoga process. You will see here also Jagannath Das Babaji in the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition. He was a yogi as well. So he lived a much longer time than others. He could extend his life. But by the very, very last minute, he also had to give up this body. He couldn't stay. What the important point to realize is nobody can beat Prakriti. Nobody can beat Prakriti. The moment we accept that, a lot of unnecessary work you can save. Because you are thinking that if you can beat Prakriti, that's why we are trying every way. Isn't it? But it will not work. Ultimately the body has to go. And that is because this thing called ego is also a part of that Prakriti. Part avibhajya katakam. That means it is a part which cannot be separated from Prakriti. While you are within the Prakriti, that ego will be there. And it is the ego that is dictating all these things. That you can extend your life, you can live longer, and you know that some people go to such extent, isn't it, to get extended life? Do they not? You know, the very, very rich people, what all they do to get an extension of life, they will go through anything possible through medical science, through yoga, or whatever process available in this world. They try to extend the life, but it's not possible. It is not possible. There is every this thing called the personality, our ego, that itself is within the prakriti. You see, even that is within the prakriti. Ego is within the prakriti. There is only one person who is outside prakriti. That is called Purusha. Purusha is the one who is outside prakriti. Remember, Purusha we discussed what is Uttama Purusha. Uttama Purusha Stanyo. You remember that verse in the 15th chapter, Purushottama Yogam. Only Purushottama is outside prakriti. He is the one who Purusha, that Chaitanyam, living force, instant. Everything else is within the prakriti. Therefore, in the prakriti, because it is like that, within the prakriti, whatever the taxes you have to pay, you have to pay. Whatever the toll you have to pay, you have to pay to the prakriti. This is all the toll and taxes what we are paying through our life in this world. Is it not? Prakriti has put this, you do all these things and you get these results, you accept all that without any complaints, and then when she releases us from her control, then you can go. Otherwise, you can become Purusha at that time. Otherwise, always you are in the grip of Prakriti. We are always in the grip of Prakriti. So, when we have paid off all our dues, then Prakriti will release us. Then you can go. So, and that dues, what Prakriti is expecting from us, is called Prarabdham. That due, what we owe the Prakriti for what we have to pay her, without which she won't release us, is called Prarabdham. Is called Prarabdham. And what freedom have you got there? You have no freedom there. So, only thing what you can do, through Bhagavad Gita's knowledge, you can avoid bringing new taxes and new tolls onto your head. You can avoid that. If this knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita is taken seriously, then that person can avoid bringing more dues and more taxes onto our head. What knowledge does is, a new inflow of these taxes will come to a stop. Another set of taxes. But knowledge will not take away what's already decided, prarabdham. What's already decided by the prakriti at the moment in this body, that's not going to be taken away. That's not going to be taken away. It has, only with Krishna's grace it can happen, but that will only happen to exceptional cases. Extremely exceptional cases, Krishna has done that to people. Sudama is one of that case. There is a conversation between Krishna and Draupadi in Mahabharata. Do you know what that conversation is? A very interesting conversation. That before, before when Uttara Parikshit was in the pregnancy in the womb, Uttara Devi's womb, that this incident happened in the Hastinapur. There's a discussion. Kundi Devi, Draupadi and Uttara Devi, they were all present there, and all the Pandavas also. Krishna was also there. Ashwathama fired this weapon, isn't it? Which one? Brahmastram. Fired to kill, and Ashwathama said that I will make sure that even a trace of this race of the Pandava will remain in this world. That was his vow. He has taken that. So the only trace was left behind was this Parikshit. I'm going to kill him. And he sent that Brahmastram to kill Parikshit. So when that was fired on Parikshit, and Parikshit was dead. In the Bhagavatam and Mahabharatam, there is a slight difference on this, the way it is presented. In Mahabharatam, it's much more elaborate. In Bhagavatam, for story's sake, I believe that Vedavyas has brought it very in a summary form. Uttara Devi's womb, Parikshit was dead. Parikshit was dead. In the Mahabharata. In the Bhagavatam it doesn't say like that. Krishna got inside and protected Parikshit. That is how it is mentioned. Slightly different way. That's not important. What's important here to realize is that when Parikshit was dead in the womb of Uttara Devi, Uttara Devi touched her belly and felt very cold inside. The presence of the baby was not there. There was no life inside. And at that time, Kundi Devi and Draupadi, they looked at each other.
And Draupadi said to Krishna, come out for a minute, she said to him. And Krishna went outside with Draupadi. Draupadi says to him, what's going on? She said. Draupadi says to Krishna, what is going on? Krishna says, what can I do? He said. What can I do? That's the prarabdham, isn't it? Krishna said. Draupadi said, don't tell me this word prarabdham, she says to Krishna. Don't tell me this word prarabdham to me, she said. That you can talk to somebody else. She was very heavy with Krishna on that. Can you not protect him? She said. It is then that Krishna went inside and then protected Parikshit, gave back the life to Parikshit again. That is how it happened. This is in the Mahabharata. Bhagavatam, it is a little different than that. But doesn't matter. What I'm saying is, if Krishna wants it, he can do it. But he won't do it. Because if he does that, he's breaking his own prakriti then. Isn't it? His own law is prakriti. His law is this prakriti. What is? So we are, Jadabharata couldn't escape. Dattatreya couldn't escape. Rishabhadeva couldn't escape. None of us could escape. Exceptional cases, extremely rare cases. There are a few instances, like the ones, our Sudama's case. He was meant to suffer in poverty. He was meant to be like that. But Krishna decided that that prarabdham rule don't apply to you now. And sent him with all the opulence. But it didn't bother. As far as Sudama is concerned, there is no prarabdham. He's gone beyond than that. But his wife needed that help at that moment, knowing very well Krishna had to do that. So there are cases like that. Not saying that it's not possible. But the general rule, as far as we are all concerned, is prarabdham cannot be touched. Cannot be touched. And knowledge that has to be experienced by us will not be taken away by knowledge either. By knowledge either. So, body, that when it is executing these different karmams, that is all niyati. What Krishna calls the word is niyati. So, if it is, that means it's already programmed. You know, how the computer programs work? The program is supposed to continue, isn't it? Till the last end result, it has to happen. Once the program, you have developed it like that. In the similar way, material nature is programmed already this body with the karma. So it has to go through it, and it's meant to go through that, and that it will not be, and you cannot give it up. Therefore, in the middle, when the program is running, you come in the middle and say, no, I'm not going to do that. It's not possible. It is not possible. Arjuna, Krishna says there, that is why the last two lines, you have a look at that verse. Yastu karma bhala tyagi sa tyagi tyabhidhiyade. Krishna is saying tyabhidhiyade. So one person who is a karma bhala tyagi, he is a real tyagi. That yastu karma bhala tyagi. Karmam is not tyagi. Karma bhalam he is a tyagi. See that? That is the important message there. Karmam, he is not sacrificing, he is not renouncing the karmam. He is renouncing the results there. That is the interesting thing. Yastu karma balatyagi satyagi tyabhidhiyade. So one who is giving up the results is the tyagi, not the one who is giving up the karmam is the tyagi. Because he knows that the body is already programmed for the karmam to go through. And the program will only stop when the karmam is finished. That is material, prakriti's program. That's working and that's going through the body. What can be done? And that's not going to stop straight away. It will stop when the prarabdham is over and then the body will go and then you're free. Then you're free. So, so tasma, so, So, yastu karma bhalatyagi satyagiti abhidhiyade. Krishna is saying, nahi deha prada shakyam tektum karmani asheshada. Yastu karma bhalatyagi satyagiti abhidhiyade. Satyagiti abhidhiyade.
He is a sannyasi or tyagi who is giving up the results of this karma, Krishna says here. So that is connected with self-realization. How? How is it connected? Point what Krishna is saying here is that if you have come to realize who you are, that means if you have realized who you are, you have already given up your body. See that? If you have realized who you are, you have already given up your body. It's not that you give up your body at the end and then realize the self. You realize the self and then you give up your body. That's how it happens. Remember in the Bhagavatam when Krishna said that, is it not? That verse is very, very important verse in the Bhagavatam. Dehastobi na dehasta. You have to always keep going back to that verse. And then you will know what is Krishna expecting from us. Dehastobi na dehasta. Vidwan, one who is learned. Sopnadi hadotida. Adehastobi na dehasta. Kumati sopna tarkiyatha. He's saying there, he is in the body, but he's not in the body. Very interesting, isn't it? Dehastobi na dehasta. He is dehasta, but he is not in the deha, in the body. Dehastobi na dehasta. Vidwan. Why? Sopnar yathotida. That in the dream state, how he wakes up and he realizes that it was all a dream. Similarly, when he realizes the self, who he is, he realizes his body doesn't exist. Just like when you wake up from the dream state, we realize that it was all a dream. Every night we dream, something or the other, isn't it? Only one who is in pure satvagunam doesn't dream. But I don't know whether we are all in that satvagunam stage. We dream a lot, is it not? I'm only telling you about myself, I don't know about you, but I dream a lot. What does that mean? Dehastobi, always in the body. And when I wake up, I know, oh, it's all a dream. So many funny dreams comes in the night. When you laugh yourself, you're laughing at yourself later on, when you wake up in the morning. Why did I dream like this? Don't you? Everybody does that, isn't it? All sorts of... And it is so funny, some of the dreams that comes in the night. Is it not? So Krishna is saying, when you wake up from that dream, how much importance you give it to that dream? You try to inquire, why did I dream like this? But what else can you say? You can't go further than that. There is no answer. So you close and you ignore everything. If you look at the whole life, what all you have dreamt from beginning up to this point, you don't even remember everything, what you have dreamt. Is it not? Even the last night, what you have dreamt, you can't remember now. What to talk about all the previous nights, what you have dreamt. When you were a boy, when you were a young man, when you were an older person, all the dreams are continuously coming, non-stop, in different ways, is it not? Everybody appears in the dream, all your friends, all your enemies, and all your family members, all your office colleagues, and so many people appear in the dream. Works you have done in different places, people whom you have associated with, they all appear in the dream. And so many unknown things also comes in the dream. And in the Vedantam philosophy is that all these dreams, what you are going to dream, is already packed inside in the form of vasana. That's what's coming out in the dream from previous lifetimes. And if you look at that dream, you will know that what all you had gone through in previous lives, what you have experienced in previous lives. That we have also wandered around in the forest like the snakes, like the tigers. And all that vasana is still there inside us. It has not left us. It is still there. Human being is only the external, not the external form. External body is like this. But inside that vasanas, what we have acquired in different lifetimes, in different bodies, that's all still there inside. And they will come out in the dream. They'll come out in the dream. That's a strong indication of what all different bodies we have gone through in previous lifetimes. In previous lifetime. Anyway, leave that behind. That's another subject altogether. But Krishna is saying to us, Nahi deha prada shakyam tetram karmani asheshada yastu karma balatyagi satyagi tyabhidiyade. Important point to realize is this, that you are carrying the body and wandering around in this world, and tetram karmani asheshada, and as long as this body, what material nature has put on us, is there,
Karmani, you cannot come out of it. Karmam, you won't be able to free yourself from that. But then what can be done? Yes, to karma bhalatyagi. That karmam, what happens, and the bhalam, that results come to that. If you give up that karma bhalam, satyagi chabidiyade, then he is in the proper state of tyagam or sannyasam, Krishna says there. So, so the escape route is this, he said, dehastho vina dehastha. If you have come out of the body while living within this body, dehastho vina dehastha, vidvan sopnad yathothira. Just like you wake up from the body, from the dream, and then how you leave behind everything, what you have dreamt in the night. Vidvan sopnad yathothira. Adehastho vina dehastha. That is the realized soul. Similarly, when he leaves this body, realized soul, it will be like this, that as much as one has woken up from a dream and he leaves the dream behind, similarly, while living in this body, in the vacant state, he has woken up and he is not dehastha anymore. He is situated in the Atma. Therefore, the body does not exist for him. For him, the body doesn't exist anymore. But prarabdham will keep the body still. Prarabdham will keep the body still. But opposite side, adehastho vina dehastham. For us, it is like that. Adehastham. We leave this body and go. While leaving this body and leaving this world, we are still thinking how to get another body. Or come back to the same body. That is that second one. Adehastho vina dehastham. Kumati. His brain, he has no brain, Krishna is saying. Supnadruk yatha. He is still thinking this dream called this body is real. So in that verse in the Bhagavadam, Krishna has smashed this whole understanding of the modern science and everything. He has smashed in one verse the whole thing. And it is so categoric, that statement is. And it is so firm in everything what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavadam, Ekadasha Skanda particularly, that nobody can question the authority of that words. It is so absolute level it is spoken. We can't realize it. That's another thing. Why you can't blame Krishna for that. We are not able to realize that in our present state. That's ajnanam inside, avidya inside. But the truth is spoken is what is in the Ekadasham or in the Bhagavad Gita. So Krishna says here that he has realized it. He has given up the body. Already he has given up the body, Krishna is saying. He doesn't have to die. He's already given up the body. And he has given up everything apart from himself. What is that he has given up then? The ego. And as long as the ego is there, Krishna says karmam has to be done. Because ego, karmam is a product of that ego. Product of the ego. And all you can do when you are in that state is to do the karmam and hand over the results to Krishna. Narayana yedi samarpayami. That is the only option we have. This is all perfect science. How much one can follow, that's up to the individual. The science doesn't change. There is no question of changing the science. If the science remains what Krishna 5,000 years ago, what Krishna has spoken, it remains the same today. It will remain the same forever. Point is, Krishna is saying that Bhagavata Dharmam, that is what applies to these people. That yastu karma bhalatyagi, karma bhalam, hand over to Krishna. Do in whatever way you do it, that's up to you. Karma bhalatyagi, he is in that sannyasam state. Satyagi tyabhidiyade. So without expectation of results, when one does that, it is called karma yogam. And on the other hand, what jnani does is not karma yogam. That is another important thing. What jnani does is not karma yogam. Because this, you must be very clear about this. Many people misunderstand these things, that jnani does karma yoga. Karma yoga is a sadhana. Karma yoga is a sadhana it is. Jnani is not a karma yogi. Jnani is not a karma yogi. Many people, when they read Bhagavad Gita, make this mistake while they study this Bhagavad Gita, that jnani is a karma yogi. Jnani is not a karma yogi. Jnani is not a karma yogi. Jnani is not a karmi either. Jnani is not a karmi either, or a karma yogi. Instead, he is a akarmi. Remember this akarmi? Krishna has spoken about that earlier. That karma yogi is one who performs sadhana. One who does this. Which one? Yastu karma bhalatyagi satyagi tyabhidhiyade. So one who is handing over the karma bhalam, Narayanaya samarpayami, one who does that, he is a karma yogi. He is a karma yogi. But that means it's a sadhana for him. It's another kind of sadhana. Just like chanting the holy name is a sadhana. Similarly, giving up the karma bhalam, bhalam results to Krishna is another sadhana. It's another kind of sadhana, that is, you are doing so many things in this world and bhalam is coming, results are coming, and you are giving everything to Krishna. Let Krishna have this, let Krishna have that. So if you do that, it's a sadhana, that is. It's as much as a good sadhana. Prabhupada mentioned this in many instances. He said sometimes devotees had to go out and work in the early days. And now also devotees have to work, but but it's changed, the whole situation has changed. But in the early days when there was no money, some people had to go out and work. And at that time they had this difficulty. They were not able to come and stay in the temple. They were not able to engage in the preaching activities. They had to go out and work. But they were handing over the whole amount, what they have received due to their karmam, they were handing over to Prabhupada to say, use it for whatever purpose necessary. So, and they were asking Prabhupada, what should I do? I am stuck in this work. Somebody was working in the social security office, somebody was doing different kind of driving taxis. Some of those are still there, sannyasis and all that. They were doing at that time different things like that. So Prabhupada told them that you are as good as a sannyasi when you give hand over everything to Krishna, there is nothing to be worried about. That is a sadhana, he said. Like you are chanting the holy name, it's a sadhana, that is. Handing over the results to Krishna is a sadhana. It's a sadhana, that is. So karma yogi is karma yoga means a sadhana, it is. So sadhana, one who does sadhana is called sadhaka. Sadhaka engages in karma. But only difference is, he does the karma in such a way without expectation of any results from the karma. And therefore he is a karma yogi. Jnani is not a karma yogi. Jnani is not a karma yogi. And therefore, vidusha kriyamanam karma akarmanaiva. That everything what Jnani does is that nothing, none of it is karma. Jnani's position is different. You remember when we looked at the second verse, Krishna mentioned this. Kamyanam karmanam nyasam sanyasam kavayo vidu. Sarva karma bhalatyagam prahustyagam vijakshana. In that verse, the first two lines is referring to Jnani. Jnani, what he does is that he gives up, he has no desires first of all, and he has no karma either. So he is called akarmato, akarmani. Agarmani, he says here. So whatever Jnani does is not at all karma. So because it's not karma, it is no question of him becoming a karma yogi either. He's not even a karma yogi either. And his karma is never imposed in the Atma, in the self. In the self. Because he is so separated from the body, he knows, always he knows, the body is doing the karma. It is in that consciousness the karma is happening. Whereas in karma yogi's case, that stage has not come. For him, he has not come out of the body yet. But he is engaged in this sadhana of handing over the results of his karma to Krishna. Thereby, through that sadhana process, he will get purified. And eventually, like the jnani, he will also get released from identification with the body. That is how it works. You see the difference between karma yogi and jnani? There's a big difference. Jnani is the one who has already escaped. He doesn't have to worry about karma anymore because as far as he is concerned, body is doing the karma. I am not doing it because his realization is strong on the self. Realized, self-realized he is. Whereas karma yogi is not self-realized. It is like a sadhana going on at the moment in his life. And through that sadhana, he gets purified. And in due course of time, when that karma yogam also brings him to this state of chitta shuddhi, when chitta shuddhi becomes very intense or very pure, purity happens, naturally he will easily absorb everything in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam in his life. It will happen to him. Attraction for karma will go away. Attraction for results will go away. In that way he will turn out to be a jnani later. So what is happening there is through karma yogam you are coming to jnana. You are coming to jnana. The position of the jnana. So it is Krishna mentions this, that he does not impose superimposing. That is called adhyaropam. In Shastram it's called adhyaropam. English they call it a superimposing that. That he is not superimposing any karma on the self, Atma. He is not imposing that. He is imposing everything on the body. It's the body that is doing the karma. Is always clear within himself. Body is doing the karma. I am not doing the karma. Therefore, he is called akarmani. Akarmani. Remember this? Krishna mentions this earlier in the chapter. Karmani akarmaniya pashyet. Akarmani ja karmaya. Sabuddhiman manusheshu sayutta krishna karma krit. There's a verse which is in the karmanya karmaya pashyet. Akarmani ja karmaya. Sabuddhiman manusheshu sayutta krishna karma krit. If you look into that verse, it's a very difficult verse. When you read it first time, people read all that and then they say, what's all complicated? It is too much. They say, karmanya karmaya pashyet, akarmanija karmaya, sabuddhiman manusheshu sayukta krishna karmakrat. It is that verse.
418.
Karmanya. Karmanya karmaya pashyet, akarmanija karmaya, sa buddhiman manushyeshu sa yukta krishna karmagam. One who sees inaction in action and action in inaction is intelligent among men. And he is in the transcendental position, although engaged in all sorts of activities. People read all this and then say, what's all so confusing? It says, action, inaction in action and action in inaction. Krishna says he is intelligent. One who is in that state. So most of the people, they close Bhagavad Gita after reading that verse. It's one of those verses which confuses people so much. That is why that verse is important. So there you can see, akarmanijak, this is that jnani state. Jnani state is Krishna's talking about. You can see, jnanam is the transcendental knowledge, is the topic there. So Krishna is saying, a jnani, he is not identifying with the action. Action he is identifying with the body. And he is separated from the body. He is separated from the body. So those things you have to remember that at that time. this state of jnani, it is not karma yoga. See, this is in the fourth chapter, isn't it? Karmanya karmaya pashyet. In the third chapter, Krishna discussed karma yoga in the Bhagavad Gita. Third chapter is karma yoga. Karma yoga is a sadhana. In the fourth chapter is a topic discussion with about a jnani. Jnani state is what is discussed there. And Krishna is explaining there the relationship with karma and a jnani. How it is related to each other. This is the relationship. Relationship is like this, that he is free from the karma already. Why? Because he is not identifying with the body anymore. Only if you are identifying with the body, the karma, you have a problem with the karma. If you are not identifying with the body, the problem with the karma is over. Whole the science of Bhagavad Gita is this factor called karma. Remember, at the end of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells us five things. Remember? Five things are spoken. What are they? The material nature, prakriti, living entity, jiva, ishvara, jiva, ishvara, prakriti, karma, and time. Five factors. Kalam. Karma, kalam, jiva, ishvara, prakriti. These five things constitutes our existence here in this world. These five things. Ishvara, jiva, prakriti, kalam, karma. So karma is as important as the other four. This philosophy you won't find anywhere else except in the Bhagavad Gita. No other scripture will tell you in this world. Scripture means Vedic literature will tell you. Upanishads will tell you. Bhagavad Gita will tell you. Brahma Sutra will tell you. But no other scripture in the world will talk about in such fineness of our existence here. Is it not? So Krishna is saying there that that karmam that is with you all the time. Unless you are freed from that, this fact, influence of karmam still remain with us. It's not so simple to free yourself from that karmam. And that science he is talking about here. He says here, karma yogam is that sadhana by which you are offering the results to Krishna, in that way getting purified and finally develop the capacity or chitta shuddhi for acquiring the knowledge of the self. Acquiring the knowledge of the self. So, when karma yogi, when he does karma, what he does, he offers everything to Krishna, isn't it? Narayana idi samarpayami. Always he is offering to Krishna the results. And if you hand over the results to Krishna, what will happen? Shanti will come from that. Shanti. Shanti means peace inside. This karma is like this, that it's a heavy baggage on the back. So the only way you can get rid of that heavy baggage is handing over the results. And you will see it is getting emptied. This baggage at the back will keep getting emptied. And Shanti will come. And this one has to apply in one's life and try it and see what happens. And then you will know it. There's nothing more you can say about than that. Just have to practically try it out and see how it works. And for example, even you may have done a lot of meditation or chanting the holy name. Even if you have done all these things, if you have not come out of the knots of this karma, then it will be difficult. You can chant the holy name for a long period of time. But if you have not come out of these knots, what you have created around you in the form of karma, if you have not untied those knots, because that is the first step. Untying those knots of the karma is the first step. That is why, whichever sampradayam you go to in this world, in the Vaidya sampradayam, it's not only Gaudiya Vaishnava, whether you go to Dvaiti sampradayam, Vishishtadvaitam, first thing they will tell you is to do some things without expectation of any results from that. Thereby, doing like that, you're getting freed yourself from that karma vasana from inside. Many years they will expect you to do a free service. In some form you have to do. And by doing like that, Krishna is saying here that you are untying that knots inside of selfishness. All the life otherwise you are for me, isn't it? Like Sri Rudram says, may. So that may has to go from inside. In order to do that, this process is spoken. So If that knots are not untied, any meditation or yoga system or pranayamam or self-inquiry, it will not work. It will not work. So, at the same time, you should not try to escape from karma. Try to escape from karma is not the solution for the problem. So, 3 points. First thing, Krishna says, karmam you cannot escape. Karmam has to be done. You cannot refrain from karma. Secondly, karmam, whether it is good or bad, that also you have to give up to looking at that. And thinking that something is good and something is bad, and trying to escape from that. And don't seek any remedy for anything, as far as karmam is concerned. Because that is not the solution to the problem. That is what Krishna is saying here. That's also not the solution to the problem. And that is not very pleasing, because if you try to escape from something, that means you have not understood the law of karma. So how you handle that karma that has come to you by Prakriti's arrangement, and how to do it in such a way that it does not create fresh karma vasanas inside, and by offering it to Krishna the results and freeing yourself from the after effect of that karma, that is what is expected. So in that situation, all your attention has to be directed towards Krishna. It has to be directed towards Krishna. So, attention means Shraddha. If it is towards Krishna, and if we are concerned about our life, if our life is more important, which means if we become very individualistic in life, and if development of my life in this world as the highest goal, for that person, karma yoga is not possible. You see? If I have made up my mind, I want to make a lot of money in this world, and I'll use everything in this world for my benefit. If that is my decision inside, for me, karma yoga is not possible. This is the reason why we say strongly against these things while running an institution. If this principle is not understood, they are all useless, whoever is running that institution. They have not understood anything from Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is telling us this very openly to us. You are completely flouting Krishna's instruction, going against it totally, and saying that you are presenting Krishna consciousness to the world. It's all bogus. Completely bogus. Krishna is saying to us that if your own life and your own happiness and your own family is your whole consideration in life, and for that purpose, if you are living in this world, for you, karma yoga is not possible. Where is the possibility of doing that? Because it is totally individualistic mentality behind it. I'm concerned about my own happiness in this world, my own family, my relations, my society. What kind of spiritual life is that? That is not spiritual life. That is cheating. So, and as long as this desire is inside, I have to get something, it is not possible. It is not possible. So, first thing is Krishna is saying to us, sort your karma out first. We can talk about other philosophy later. Dvaitam, Advaitam, Jnanam, Bhakti and all comes much later. Sort your karma out first. You are not even come out of that and you are talking about all other big things. Radharani's relationship with Krishna. What point is there sitting me looking at Radharani and Krishna, what they are doing there? What's it going to help? How is it going to help? So this is the misunderstanding many people have. They have understood that if I discuss Radharani's pastimes with Krishna, I am on a very higher level, isn't it? You have not even crossed the basic line here. And you are talking about something what you are not unheard of. You haven't got a clue what is going on there. But if you open up any book and saying that, oh, I am discussed about Radharani's pastimes with Krishna, I am in a much higher elevated state. So this is all tamogunam and rajogunam that is coming out. So, so Krishna is saying here that paramartha samsaram. Samsara means material existence. First of all, ubaramam has to happen. You have to get yourself free from this samsaram. So whatever you have to do here, it has to be done. You cannot escape from that. But what is the escape route? Escape route is only this, that without expectation of any results for the self, for your own happiness, you are doing the karma in such a way and handing over the results to Krishna all the time. All the time. If you do like that for a long period of time, what will happen? That person, he will experience a certain degree of akhandatvam. Akhandatvam means that unbroken existence. He will come to understand that like the sky, like the ocean, I am also unlimited. My nature is unlimited. You see, limitedness comes to us due to identification with the body. And I will increase that bodily identification with my selfish attitude in life. I am trying to inject more and more my selfish interest in everything what I am doing. If I do like that, what will happen? My selfishness will develop more into bodily identity. And with the result that karma yoga even is not possible. Because out of all the yoga system, karma, bhakti, jnanam, karma yoga is the first step, basic step to come through. And that is also not possible. So at the moment we are like in the water in a small well or in a small tank. But instead we have to start seeing that ocean, existence of ocean inside us. And that going and absorbing, dissolving in that ocean is what Krishna says that samagram praviliyate. He mentions this in the Bhagavad Gita somewhere earlier. Samagram praviliyate, he says there. So that is that it is in the third chapter that one has to do it and experience it himself and he will know it how it happens. So whether it is, so that is what that same thing. Kayena vaja manasendriyarva buddhyatmanava prakrade subhaval karomi. Yadyat sakalam parasmai narayanayedi samarpayami. Handing over to Krishna, everything, every way possible, and leave it to him. What has to happen after that? And that way you will free yourself from the after effect of the karma and all the karma vasana that is inside will go away. So that is this problem of karma is discussed everywhere in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you have the eyes to see. So, sometimes we feel, isn't it, that, while working you feel that somebody was given a higher wage rise. He managed to pull it through somehow. And colleagues comes to know about it, and there is always talk going on in the office. Then, he got a much higher rise. Why did he get that? He must have done something to pull the strings behind. So, the question is that they are not important as well as the spiritual realization is concerned. If you get the salary, you get it. If you didn't get it, doesn't matter what does it is. Up to that extent to get concerned about it. Because Sri Narada Maharshi says this in the Bhagavatam. You know how he puts it? If you look into the 7th canto, you will see there how he mentions that. In the 7th canto, Narada Maharshi says there, that is in the very end. Seventh canto, 14th chapter, verse 8. Yaval Briyade Jadharam Taval Satvam Sutvam Hidehinam Adhigam Yobhiman Yeda Sasteno Dandamar Hadi. That's the answer for that. Yaval Briyade Jadharam Taval Sutvam Hidehinam Adhigam Yobhiman Yeda Sasteno Dandamarhadi. That's what he's saying. He's saying there that a grahastha, a householder man, person, householder life, due to his prarabdham, sometimes a lot of money will come. Sometimes no money will come. Both happens. That is also prarabdham. Both is prarabdham. So a grahastha, when he gets a lot of money, what should he do? He should keep this principle. He has only right to take that much what is necessary for his food and a place to sleep. Beyond than that, he is not allowed to take. That is prarabdham that has brought it. Yaval briyade jadharam taval sutvam hi dehinam. And adhigam yobhimanya, adhigam means excess whatever that is coming from that. Yo abhimanyeda sasteno dandam. If he is taking more than that, he should be beaten. Narada Maharshi is saying this. He should be beaten up. In that case, if you apply this rule in this world, there will be a lot of beating going on then, isn't it? So, that is what you are allowed, that's what Krishna is saying here. And you are allowed for that. Everything else says, if it is useful for somebody else, let them utilize it. And voluntarily, he is not taking anything from there. And he himself does not go and get involved in anything also to acquire more wealth. And if it is there, let it be utilized by others. Let it be utilized for others. That's why Krishna is saying here. And that can be anywhere, either in the family members or in the for spiritual activities, in places where if they are going to be utilized, it may be utilized by them also. But one thing you have to remember, by having a lot of wealth, auspiciousness is not going to happen. That's the important principle. That we are thinking that if we have a lot of wealth, everything is going to be perfect in future. But it hasn't happened so far to anybody, isn't it? Maximum benefit of money is that you can have, maximum benefit from money is all you can have is some food to eat and a place to sleep. That's all. Nothing more than that. This money can really do anything. In utility, I'm saying. As far as utility is concerned, all that money can do is can give you some food, which is necessary, and which you need a place to lie down, which is also necessary. That's all. Then, beyond than that, to think that money is going to do a lot of other, give you security or any other kind of happiness in this world is misunderstanding. So that is why they say money is a necessary evil, they say. Isn't it? Necessary evil. For example, if you say hospital, is it good to have a hospital? Nowadays they build very good hospitals everywhere, spends a lot of money, isn't it? It's not a good thing. Hospital is not a good thing. But we have to go there. We have to go there, isn't it? So, because we have to go there, that itself shows that it's not a good thing. Hospital is not a good thing because we have to go there, isn't it? So, and if you can we live without a hospital? No. We can't live without a hospital also,
Similarly, is the food, is it good to have some food? No, food is not a good thing. But we have got a disease inside. What is that disease? That disease called hunger. So we need food. Similarly, hospital also. Because we get sick, we have to go there. But it's not a good thing otherwise. If we don't get sick, this thing called hospital is not necessary. We could save 120 billion pounds from NHS. Is it not? We don't use... this all, the whole day we are discussing this, how to pay for it, isn't it? And when first they were saying that, oh, lifespan we have to increase. We are living longer, we are living longer. Now they are cursing for those who are living longer. All these years they were saying that people are not living, oh, because of the advancement of science and technology and medical science, people are living so long now, we can raise the, what you call the pension age from 60 to 65, 66 is going on, up, up, up all the time. Then they are saying, all these old people here, what's a big problem they are creating? So now make the decision, kill them all, one after the other. That's the solution. What else is the solution? You yourself have created this problem. So hospital is like that. Hospital is necessary. Why? Because you are getting sick. Food is necessary. Why? Because you have got this disease called hunger. Vishapa or hunger is a disease. It's a disease it is. Disease of the body, isn't it? Atma is not asking for food. Atma says, oh, give me a prasad. Where is the prasad? Atma never asks. Body asks for the food. Is it not? So, so there is no escape route there. You have to eat when you are hungry. And so that means it's a necessary evil. Necessary evil. It is necessary, but it is a problem. That's what it is. So, and for that purpose, you have to struggle so much. You have to struggle so much. So, therefore, Krishna is saying here, what is necessary, you can take it. These things. Beyond than that, what others do, Narada Maharshi says there, let it be used for some purpose which is of benefit to others, in whichever way it is. So people will say that if when you do like that, people say, oh, he is not very selfish. You don't have any selfish thoughts inside. They may say like that. But actually, one who does that, he is the selfish person. Who? One who takes the bare minimum for himself, as far as food and shelter is concerned, and giving everything to the world, he is the selfish person. You know why? Reason for that is because it is him, he knows what is selfishness. His selfishness is in the absolute truth, paramarthikam. His selfishness is not in the body. Those who are collecting everything, accumulating wealth, and trying to make life comfortable, his selfishness is in the body. The other person who takes the bare minimum for his bodily existence from this world, food and shelter, everyone is entitled. Everybody is entitled. You may ask the question, if everybody is entitled, then the property prices will drop. Then what will happen? Economy will crumble, isn't it? So all these, that is not how Bhagavad Gita works. Bhagavad Gita is telling us that everybody is allowed to have food, allowed to have shelter. Beyond that, if he is taking anything from the society, it's stealing. Sasteno dandamarhadi, he says you should be beaten. Narada Maharshi is a little bit heavy on that. You should be beaten up, he says. So, so difference is, this person who gives or hands over everything to Krishna and only takes a very bare minimum what's necessary for his living in this world, he is also selfish. But his selfishness is tied up with the absolute truth. Whereas the other person who is like accumulating wealth in this world, thinking that he's going to be happy one day, and in purely looks after his own interests and working totally on the selfish platform, is the one Krishna says here that all his energy is going in the wrong directions, and therefore his selfishness is different from the person who is working towards self-realization. So this, both are selfish, but there is a difference in their selfishness, is it not? From that you can understand whose selfishness is better, isn't it? The one who takes the minimum from this world, and whatever that comes excess in life due to prarabdham,
hands that over back to the world, Prakriti again, and used for whatever purpose is better, and living in that life. But his selfishness is in the paramarthiyam, absolute level, the absolute truth. Whereas the other person, who doesn't want to give anything to this world, takes everything from this world, only for his own happiness in this world, his selfishness is in the body. Other person's selfishness is in the self. So, because here, so Krishna says here, if you link up your selfishness with the absolute truth, what will happen is all your energy will start flowing in that direction. And we are not too bothered, those people who are doing that, they are not bothered about what is going on here, because they know very well nothing is permanent here. Nothing is permanent here. This will go away. This understanding is like that. So those who is linked up with their selfishness, who have linked up that with the absolute truth, they know very, once they have done that, once they are fixed in that state, all their energy will start flowing in that direction. And therefore what will happen? That they know very well that nothing is permanent here. There is no point in linking up with this temporary material world and trying to find happiness in this world. This will go away. This will go away. So we'll have a short break and then we'll continue.
Chedo darpanam arjanam bhavamaha dhavahni nirvavanam shreyakkaidava chandriga vidaranam vidyavadhu jivanam anandambudivardhanam pradipada purnamrada swadhanam sarvapna swabanam varam vijayade shri krishna sankirtanam namnamagai bahuda dijasarva shakti trapida nimida smaranena kala Edadrishi tava kripa bhagavan mamabhi durdeivami drishamihajani nanuragaham tranadabhi shuni chena starorabhi saheshuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari nathanam na janam na sundarim kavidam vajagadi shakamaye Mama janmani janmani shwari bhavada bhakti rahai tugittoi Ai nanda tanyuja kinkaram patidamam shame bhavambudau Kripaya tava pada pangha jastida duli sadrasham vichindaya Nayanam jalada shrutharaya vadanam gadgadaryuddhaya gira Pulagair nijidam kadavapo tavannam grahane bhavishyadi. Yugaidam nimeshena chakshusha pravishayidam shunyayidam jagal sarvam govinda virahe name. Ashleshyava padaradam pinashtumam adarshanam marmahadam karyotuva shiradhanava vidadadulam varav.
Yaval priyade jadaram taval satvam hidehinam adhigam yobhimanyeda sasteno dundamurhari.
Narada Maharshi says to Yudhishthira. So that point is what Krishna, Narada Maharshi is saying there is that if our selfishness, if it is linked up with the truth, self-realization, Paramarthigam it is called. If you link up there, then all your energy will start flowing in that direction, isn't it? Because that's where your interest is. So naturally all your energy will also start going in that direction. Our energy means what? Whatever we are capable of doing in this world, our karmam also will go, the energy which is coming from the karma will also start flowing in that direction. So then you are not bothered what goes on in this world. You are not going to get too much concerned about this world, isn't it? Because this concern for the world, concern for improvement here and all that, is only because of identification with the body. Once you have identified with Alma, with the cell, soul inside, and when you realize that I am that, then concern for the world and improving the world conditions and all will go from inside, because you are not bothered about it. It's like, suppose I go somewhere to stay for about a week or so, where I'm only going to stay there. I have rented some place to stay for a week or 10 days. And when I go and live there, I know very well that what goes on in that city is not of much importance to me. If the roads are good, if the train service is good, bus service is good, I'm not going to be too bothered about it, because after 7 days' time, I'm gone. Why should I bother? This will be my approach, attitude. I won't be too concerned how the government is, what they are doing. And so, as soon as the business is over there, for purpose for which I've gone there, as soon as the business is over, I'm leaving the place. So that is in my mind all the time. I'll be leaving in 5 days or 10 days' time. So it's not going to be of any concern to me what is going on in that place, is it not? So, therefore, any problems that's happening there, if it's not affecting me directly, I'm not too bothered what goes on there, isn't it? So, as far as you can see that, you go to another city, you'll see about the weather conditions or the traffic conditions, or you're gone for a certain purpose there. As long as that purpose is finished, then you are ready to go. You're not bothered about the traffic there or any other problems there. It's not going to bother, because I know very well after 7 days I'm leaving. So why should I bother? So instead of that 7 days, maybe 7 days or 70 years or 10 years or 20 years, whatever it may be, if that business is over, I have to leave this body and go. In the same way, I will leave this body and go, isn't it? So why should I, just like when I was on a holiday, if I, all the problems there, why should I take it upon my head and worry about it? Similarly, if I know that in 60 years, 70 years, whatever time it is, if I have to leave this body and go, why should I worry about all the problems of this world and put all the problems of this world on my head and struggle with that? This is the principle. That is what Srinath Maharshi is saying there. So there is no need for that, because the goal is self-realization, not the world. Not the world. So remember, this Krishna mentions this in the beginning itself, isn't it? Vyavasaya alpiya buddhi egeha kurunandana. Then bahusha anandascha buddhayo avyavasayinam. It is avyavasayis whose interest is changing the world, improving the world, and controlling the world. This is all avyavasayatam. Vyavasayi who has goal is fixed upon the truth, who wants to realize the self, who he is, what he is, right in this life, he will not be too much interested, very much interested in the affairs of this world either. Because if you keep your goal always focused on the truth, then there will be shanti inside. There is shanti inside. And you are not going to lose anything from that. And according to your capacity, whatever you have to do here in this world, not to cause disturbances here or to upset anybody, as much as possible to your capacity, you do that. You do that. And if there is problems in that, you can't do anything about it. That's approach. You do within your capacity what you can do here with the world and with the people or with the family or whatever it is. Within your capacity, you do what you can do. And if there is still problems within that, you can't do anything about it. That has to be the approach. There's no other approach possible with that. So, if you leave it like that, let it carry on whatever way it comes out. For example, Mahabharata war happened, isn't it? Mahabharata war happened. And before the war, Krishna went up to everybody and told them not to fight. Remember that? Representing Pandavas, Krishna went to the Kauravas to speak to them not to engage in the war. Because the after effects is known to Krishna. Krishna knows that what is going to happen. Knowing very well the miseries, what is going to come, he went and told the Kauravas that please don't fight. Give them what is due to them, half the kingdom. Isn't it? Pandavas and the Kauravas, they were entitled for half. But Kauravas are saying that we won't give anything to them. Then to make a compromise, from Krishna's side, he has made every compromise possible. First said 5 villages at least. 5 brothers, give them 5 villages to rule. Duryodhana said no. 5 houses, Duryodhana said no. 1 house for the 5 to live. Duryodhana said no. Duryodhana said they can live in the forest and they don't have to come back here to live. So stubborn he was in his mind, Duryodhana was. Isn't it? So Krishna tried to advise Duryodhana at that time. And Duryodhana, that before Krishna came, Duryodhana knew that Krishna was coming for this mission to talk about the war, isn't it? What did he say? He says that cowherd boy is coming. That's how he saw Krishna. He says the cowherd boy is coming, and he says when he comes here, tie him down. This was his instruction, because he was in charge there. And so he decided to tie Krishna down. He said, take a rope and tie him down to some pillar and leave him there. He's a cowherd boy after all, isn't it? It was at that time Krishna showed his universal form to one of the instances in the Mahabharata where he showed the universal form to Duryodhana. You don't know me, Krishna says. You don't know who I am. And Krishna showed that form. So even after seeing that form, Duryodhana won't change his mind. He says to him, is some kind of magic he's showing. This is Duryodhana. He's saying, he's showing some kind of magic, he says. So, because in Duryodhana's mind, there's only one goal. What is that? To have the kingdom. That's all it is, isn't it? So, Krishna has done everything possible to keep him, to make bring him to his senses, isn't it? But then what happened? It won't work. Then Krishna said, let it happen, what has to happen? Let the war happen. That is what it's called Bhavidavyam. Bhavidavyam means it is meant to happen. Let it happen. Krishna made that decision. So therefore, therefore it is like that. As long as you have this body also, you can't completely give it up. You can't give it up on your own. You can't give up this body. But what you can do is not to expect too much from this body and the work from this body. The results of this work, what you do here, if you do not expect much from that, and if you do not have attachment towards that, the results, then you will have some shanti inside. Some shanti inside. And that is the principle. That is what Krishna is explaining here. You can see how when you don't take this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita on board, we are like animals. We are like animals, isn't it? Where is the difference? That we will struggle, fight, and endeavor, put a lot of effort into everything. If it didn't work, because prarabdham is not allowing you to have it, and then you get frustrated, depressed, and then you go and do something which is very heavy things to do. Is it not? No, this is all happening because of the absence of this proper understanding what Krishna has spoken to us. Krishna is making us conscious of all of these factors. And if you are conscious of all these things, there is no need to get depressed about anything. That is the way it is created. And you are right in the middle of all that. So that is why Krishna is saying here that if you live like that, karma phalam, if there is no sangam, what he mentioned there, remember? That sarvat, in that verse, in the, he says there, yastu karma phalatyagi, satyagi te abhidhiyade. So if you live like that, there will be peace. There will be shanti inside. And you remember, earlier in the second chapter, Krishna said, if you have no shanti, where is happiness? Ashandasya kuta sukham, he says. So, shanti is necessary in life. Only if you have shanti, this higher knowledge will have some impact. If you are always disturbed and always in a state of disturbed mood, and always in anxiety, where is the question of any spiritual life there? You may be doing a lot of things, but that's all useless at the end. But you will only get what your prarabdham allows you to have. That's all will come. So not to get too much affected by all that thing, and to think whatever, your duty is to follow the Shastra, what Krishna is saying. You do that, and whatever happens, let it happen. Leave that to Krishna, whatever has to happen. So Krishna is saying like this, that if you do not have sangam, attachment to the results of your karma, shanti will come. Look at the next verse, how Krishna says that. Because karmam, you are going to do it. You are not out of it. And some karmam you consider as good, and some karmam as bad. And some of them are mixed. Is it not? Some karmam you think it's good. Just like people think, oh, if I'm working in the temple, it's a good karma. If I'm going and working in the office, it's a bad karma. And some other karma is mixed, both of those things. So, and then you start making decision, I'll do the good karma, the bad karma I won't do. And mixed karma, which is good and bad, you have to make these decisions also. And that is all Krishna answers in the next verse. Look at the next verse.
Anishtamishtam mishram cha
trividham
karmana bhalam bhavatyatyaginam pretya natu sanyasinam kuchit anishtamishtam mishram cha trividham karmana bhalam bhavatyatyaginam pretya natu sanyasinam kuchit.
That is it. Anishtam, ishtam, mishram. Three things. Anishtam, ishtam, mishram. Anishtam is what I don't like. Ishtam is what I like. Mishram is mixed. Both. In this way, trividham karmana bhalam. Karma bhalam comes in three different ways. Bhavatya tyaginam pretya madhu sanyasinam kuchil. So
these things are there, Krishna says.
If you look at the translation also, you will see there that for one who is not renounced, the threefold fruits of action, desirable, undesirable, and mixed, accrue after death. But those who are in the renounced order of life have no such result to suffer or enjoy. Now when you read that verse, if you start thinking that, oh, sannyasis are the only one who are not suffering, we are all suffering. They are not suffering, because that's how you will come out. Renounced because he is in the renounced order of life. And that's misunderstanding. It is the internal consciousness that makes that change in a person, isn't it? So karmam, whether it is good, whether it is bad, or whether it is mixed, it is not an issue for those who have given up everything, tyagam. For tyagi, it is not an issue at all. All diseases are for those who have not given up their selfish interests. Those who have completely given up their selfish interests, for them, when the particular karma is good or bad or mixed, that issue doesn't happen at all. It is for those who haven't given up their results and who are attached to the particular karma, for that it matters. So, it is only for them, anishtam, ishtam or mishram. What does Tyagi does? What he does is that all the karma, in a very natural way, he takes it away from his own swarupam. He knows he is the soul, and soul is not doing any karma. It's the body that is doing karma. Once you have that understanding means, once that realization is inside, he is not linking karma with the self. He is linking the karma with the body. If that happens, when he starts linking the karma with the body, he has escaped. It's not affecting him anymore. So, that is, so, and in order to get to that state is what karodi adyat sagalam parasmai narayanayeni samarpayami. This narayanayeni samarpayami is for that purpose. To take out from the, in order to take out that relationship between the karma and the self, which is falsely inside, embedded in everybody, to take that out from there and to link up with the body, it has to be done in this way, by offering to Krishna. So, what is their attitude, those who are doing like that, tyagi? Their attitude is what Krishna is saying here. Once you have surrendered all the karma to Krishna, then he knows very well, Krishna has put me in this situation, whatever it may be, office work or factory work or shop work or field work or whatever work, Krishna has put me in this situation, and that work I will do. That will be his approach. Wherever I am put into, I will accept that, whatever it is. Whether it is good or bad, I won't look into it. And this principle holds good all the time. You can see in the Bhagavadam, Dharmavyada story. You remember? He was a butcher. But he was a realized soul. some devotee says that how can he be a devotee? He sells meat and he is a butcher. He can never be a devotee. I am the devotee because I follow the four regulated principles. But Krishna says, you are not the devotee, he is the devotee. How will you justify? That's because you have not understood the science of Bhagavad Gita. Dharmavyada was so realized that he could say to that person who came, remember that story, Kakabhishundi story, that he sat underneath the tree, the crow passed a stool on his head and suddenly got angry and looked at the crow, and the crow fell down, burned into ashes and fell there. And then he started thinking that with this kind of situation, this idea has happened to him, due to his knowledge. So he went begging for prasadam, and then he got to one house, and the lady in the house did not give any attention to him. And she said to him, she kept him waiting for a while because her husband was there, she was looking after his needs. After a while he got upset with her, and then when she came out, he says to her that you kept me waiting for such a long time. She said, yes, I did. The reason I did was that my husband has come home and I had to attend to him first. And after that I decided to come to give you whatever is necessary. And then she said, don't look at me like this. I'm not like that crow, will burn into ashes. When she said that to him, he got a shock of his life. How did she knew that this incident has happened? They're far away, long away from where incident happened. So he asked her, how did you know this, that such a thing happened? That she says to him, don't ask me how it happened, I knew it. But if you want to know how it happened, go and ask a Dharmavyada, she said to him. And that's how he goes to Banaras, a city far away from all this incident happened. He got more interested in this. Seeing her, a jnani can see through your heart inside, all your vasanas, all your thoughts, all what is going on inside. That lady was a jnani. She was a jnani, realized the soul. And she knew what is right and wrong. So she saw inside him, his ego was working and he was getting upset with him. So she says she didn't say, I am a jnani, but instead by action she showed it to him. So she said to him, if you want to understand how I knew about all these things, go and ask a Dharmavyada, she said. Because he can answer you better. She's directed him towards Dharmavyada. And he goes to Banaras to find out where this Dharmavyada is. He said, he is well known, you'll find out. Go to Banaras and ask for him, Dharmavyada, he said. So he went inquired in Banaras, he was inquiring after Dharmavyada. Everybody said, Dharmavyada I've heard about, but who is coming inquiring after Dharmavyada? He is a butcher. He lives in one of that alleyways where meat business was going on. They walked in there and they saw Dharmavyada in the middle of so much meat cut into pieces, stored up, and Dharmavyada is sitting there with a huge, large knife, cutting into pieces all the animals, whatever that he was selling. So when he walked inside, he asked him, somebody died, that is Dharmavyada, he said. The Brahmana's inside was, he was going to vomit seeing all that things. Brahmana, isn't it? He was going to vomit everything seeing that situation there. And he was hesitating to go into that street even. Beginning. He was not willing to go to that street even. He wanted to come out from that. But because he had come all the way here, he wanted to see this Dharmavyada whom she is asking him to go and see, meet him. So goes and then he says to him, Dharmavyada said to him, that if you could wait for 10 minutes, I'll finish this business and we'll go home and we can talk about it. So with a lot of difficulty he stood there 10 minutes, and he was not impressed about Dharmavyada's work. It was completely put him off, seeing, selling this meat, cutting the meat, everything. Afterwards, Dharmavyada goes back with him home, and Dharmavyada gives spiritual instructions to this man, this Brahmana. He takes instructions from him. This is a story in the Yoga Vasishtam, and this is a story in the Puranams also, this famous story. So, Kaushiki Gotram, the Brahmana comes from the Kaushiki Gotram. So what is important here is, you can understand, is this, that those who have reached that stage, for them, karma is not anymore of any significance. Any karma they can do. Remember I mentioned yesterday about Chokamela? It's like that. Karmam is not the problem. The relationship, with what relationship we keep with the karmam, that is the most important thing. So whether good karmam, bad karmam, all these things, they won't look at it. They won't look at it. Whereas we have falsely made up some understanding about karma. Certain karmas we consider as very bad. But if you have to live in this world, if you have to do that karma, you have to do it. There's nothing wrong in that. But it is that relationship with that karma that matters. We don't have to feel anything any more bad about it. That's all misunderstanding about karma and what Krishna is talking about here. Isn't it? So, important thing is Krishna says, karmam is like this, he said, that it doesn't change its nature. Karmam is always like that. The results of the karmam, we are not concerned about it. That is the important factor there. Not to get too concerned about the results, not to get concerned about the attachment to the karmam itself, isn't it? Just like karmam is happening. For example, these machines which they use for cutting vegetables. Whatever you put it there, it will keep cutting the vegetable. If you put your finger there, it will cut the finger also. Is it not? In the same way, as far as the machine is concerned, it does not differentiate whether it's your finger or whether it's vegetable. It will cut still. Similarly, a person who has become like a machine in Krishna's hands, and he will not be affected by the good or the bad side of the karma. One who has become an instrument in Krishna's hands, he will not be affected by the results. Because he has become an instrument, like the machine. He has become an instrument in Krishna's hands. So, on the other hand, one who is selfish, and one for him, pride, vanity, all these things are matters that will all affect him very badly. So, if you take these instructions, what Krishna is mentioning here, anishtam ishtam mishram cha trividam karmana bhalam bhavatya tyaginam pretya nadu sanyasinam kochil. So, this instruction, what Krishna is giving to us, that if you take it as a sadhana, and you engage in those activity, and if you say that whatever I do, it will not affect me, but still it will affect you. Look at this way. Tyagi satya samavishta, he says there in the previous verses, you remember? That tyagi satya samavishta, Krishna has spoken before. You see, by reading only this one verse, that's what I'm saying. Just you have read this verse. Krishna is saying, anishtam ishtam mishram cha trividham karmana bhalam bhavatya tyaginam pretya sadhu sanyasinam kochil. If you read this verse and say, and I'll go and do anything you like in this world, and say, so it won't affect me, because Krishna says there that I am handing over everything to results, but it will still affect, because earlier he mentioned tyagi sattva samavishta. You have to link that with this verse as well. That means one who is situated in the platform of knowledge, or one who is handing over the results of all his karma to Krishna without using it for his own gratification, sense gratification, that such a person, voluntarily, he won't make a mistake. Voluntarily, he won't make a mistake. In other words, in order to create problem for somebody, or to create any disturbance for somebody, he won't do anything. But he will be busy with his karma, whatever he has to do, that will come through that body. And due to that, after effect of that karma, if anything happens to anyone, he is not responsible for that. I'll say this again. Just try to see that important message. Krishna is saying to us that one who is realized in the jnanasthiti, he does a karma, that person. Or another person who is offering all his results of karma to Krishna. Voluntarily, he won't make a mistake. Knowingly, he won't make a mistake. And whatever he does, if it turns out to be a disturbance for someone, a problem for somebody else, and if it creates any kind of problem to somebody else, but he will not deliberately do that, but it happens that way. He is busy with his own karma. What is coming through this body, he engages in that. And the after effect, if anything happens, if anything good happens to anybody, he is not responsible for that. He is not responsible for that. Similarly, if anything bad happens from that, he is not responsible for that. He is not responsible for that. Understand that principle. Why? Because you can see, Mahatmas, when they do things in this world, sometimes you will see something bad happening from that, as an after effect of that. Just like when devotees were asked to give up the school education, college education, and come to get enrolled in the Gurukulam and just go through the Gurukula system of education, there was a lot of problems that came up from that. You know, those who have known the history, you will know that. That what happened was, those got enrolled, there were a lot of problems, child abuse and many other things happened. And the after effect of that, although intentions were good, was not very laudable. It was not very much appreciated, isn't it? And some people questioned this afterwards, saying that we should not have opened this Gurukulams in the first instance. But Prabhupada did open this Gurukulam with one intention only, thinking that maybe, he thought, that if the children were given a spiritual education, they will escape from the slaughterhouses. Instead of pumping this avidya into their heart and becoming engrossed in that, to get them freed from that, because there were children born in the families and they had to be educated. So Prabhupada's point was, let there be a Gurukulam and let them learn Shastram properly and let them be educated properly in that way, through the Shastram. And he mentioned that when they grow up, as far as, because your needs are limited, you need some food, and therefore communities has to be set up on that principle, and they can be looked after, they can be maintained. This was his point. With that sole intention, he started that. But unfortunately, it didn't happen that way, because there wasn't the right people to manage it properly. Instead, it all ended up in a lot of crisis and problems, and finally it all withered away. And now, that Gurukulam, which was started as Gurukulam, has ended up in teaching for the A-levels in Cambridge and all other things which Prabhupada had never thought of in his mind. Or has ended up in the teaching the curriculum of this secular government, and what they want is, so one side you are giving them your spiritual knowledge, on the other side you are educating on the material side, which won't go together. All it will end up finally will be a lot of crisis in their heart. These things, it's difficult to compromise. So Prabhupada wanted to avoid that. He considered that this modern education system is nothing but a slaughterhouse. He compared that with a slaughterhouse. He realized that it is no good if you send the children to them, and to make them spiritual becomes more difficult after that. So knowing all that, he had this good intention, but he gave it a try. But unfortunately, you can see the after effects were not always very good, isn't it? So many people have abused the children, and so many problems came up from that. And that was not very pleasant, what happened afterwards. Some students commit suicide because of that. A lot of things happen which we are not even fully aware of, and devotees may not be know about that. So the point I'm saying is this, that a person in a realized state, when Prabhupada was doing all these things, the intention was that he had done it with this full knowledge that karma is happening in this body, and they continue to work in that principle. that, and after effect it has happened this way, and there is no control over that. You can't do anything about it, isn't it? And he is not responsible for that. Whether good things comes out of it or bad things comes out of it, he is not responsible. He is not responsible. And if it has caused some problem for somebody, he is not responsible. There's a lot of ways you can analyze all these things. That is why Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Gahana Karmano Gadi. How karma goes in which direction, what the after effects of the karma is, you can't simply analyze it. Because there are a number of factors involved in that. When this, like this child abuse and all other things happen, are the parents not responsible for that? That they didn't care for the children? Is that not? Because many parents thought that, oh, I'll hand over the children to them, everything they'll be taken care of. That's also a mistake. So who has to be blamed? Isn't it? This issue will come up. And the children have suffered because of that. A lot of children have suffered a lot from that. And that he ended up in a court case, and finally, the Turley case, famous case, and the man, and Ishkon had to hand over something like $50-60 million as compensation to all of these children. There were a number of them who were affected by that. So that court case went on for 10, 12, 15 years. It was going on. And you can see that people started questioning, was it a wise thing to open this Gurukulam, open this kind of spiritual education? Now what happened? Many of them have left the Gurukulam, and then which they are now called as Gurukulis or whatever they are called. They come up in a different way, isn't it? So what I'm saying is, try to understand this principle. What Krishna is saying here is that a jnani, when he is engaging in karma, or a person who is handing over all the results of his karma for the benefit of Krishna's pleasure, he's doing that with good intentions. In that way, when he does that, and he's not taking it anything for himself, for his own happiness, such a person, any after effect that comes from his karma, he is not responsible for that. That karma is not responsible for that. So this thing you will see in Mirabai's bhajans also, she mentions this, isn't it? The world, whole world is against me, she says. Because she has given up her karma. Her karma was she was married and she was meant to look after her husband and live in the family life. You see, it says here, Lok Kahe. The world is saying that Meera, Kula Pavani, one who is supposed to purify her family, Kula Pavani, Nath Kahe Kula Nashini. They are saying that she is the destroyer of the whole family tradition. Who? Mirabai. Mirabai was criticized heavily by the society and the family, isn't it? Meera Kahe Giridhari Gopal. As far as Mirabai is concerned, only Giridhari Gopal exists, nothing else exists. So in Mirabai's state, she is justified. You can't find fault with Mirabai. Because for sake of Krishna, she has sacrificed everything in this world. So that is what the message is. It is true with all the devotees. When many devotees, jnanis, when they do something, after effect of that may be there in the society in some form. And that may not be very pleasing for the society. Society may say something about it. But they have gone beyond all that. They have gone above all these things because she has pleased Krishna. Giridhari Gopal for Mirabai, that is her realization. And therefore, her obligations to the family is over. For obligations to the society is over. Tittva so dharmam charanam bhujam harer. Bhajanna bhakveta pade tado yadi yatrakava bhadrama bhuda moshekim kova tayapto pajadam sudharmada. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first canto, in the fifth chapter, Sri Narada Maharshi says to Vedavyas, Vedavyas, understand this Bhagavata Dharma. Tetva swadharmam charanambujam. You have given up your swadharmam even. Swadharmam is all based on the varnashrama dharma, whatever that is. You have given up all that. Then what did you do? Charanambujam harer bhajan. You have taken to complete surrender to Krishna. And you have decided to please Krishna at any cost. Charanambujam harer bhajan. But unfortunately what happened was in that process, before you became matured, ripened in that, bhajan abhakveda pate tado yadi. Before you became perfect in that process of bhakti or jnanam, you fell off. Body dropped off. Body dropped off. What can you do? Yatra kava bhadram.
abhudamushya kim ko vartayapto bhajadam sudharmada. He gives the decision after that. Narada Maharshi says, yatrakava bhadram abhudamushya kim. Vedavyas, can you show me one person who has done that and whose future has gone become bleak? Can you show me one person in the history? Narada Maharshi says to Vedavyas, Vedavyas, can you show me one person in the history who have surrendered to Krishna completely and handed over everything to responsibility to Krishna and led his life, and he fell off from the body, dropped off? What has happened to him afterwards? Have you looked at, and can you show me one example who has suffered because of that? He says to Vedavyas, yatra kava bhadram abhudamushya kim kova tayato bhajadam sudharmada. Instead he says, you tell me another person who followed all his dharmam properly in this world, but he did not please Krishna, he did not offer his results to Krishna, but he conducted his sarvam, everything what he has to do here according to his dharmam. Can you show me one person who has become completely perfect in that way? In other words, this Bhagavata dharmam, what we talk about is Bhagavata dharmam. This Bhagavata dharmam principle is this, that surrender, surrender, surrender all the time to Krishna and not to expect anything from the world. Only if you live in that, that is Bhagavata dharmam. If you don't live like that, now people are doing all sorts of things. That recently I was just reading that there was a... you may think I am saying all these things. Why? Because it seems to me that people understand things completely different. What Krishna has spoken, what Narada Maharshi has spoken, they completely misunderstood everything. They had recently a seminar I heard, which was reported also, how to have proper public relations with the media, and course for that, paid money, invited people to do that, and all our managers and presidents, everything, sitting there and listening to this garbage. What is understanding of Bhagavatam then? What's understanding of Bhagavatam? So practically you can see they've lost their mind. They're thinking that this is all spiritual life. It's in your control, everything. Krishna consciousness is not in your control. No media publicity, no, nothing can help you in that. What can help you is understanding Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and living that life. That's all it is. Nothing more to it. There is no question of bringing an external agency to teach us how to interact with the media and publicity. And a course was run, and all the top people of this institution were present there in that course, and they had done it for... photographs were published and printed and presented in the all the websites as well. You can read it, it's still there. So how do you understand this? What is it going on? Is this Krishna consciousness what you are presenting to the world? Is that not misleading public? So try to hold on to Krishna's principles. What Krishna is saying to us, what Sri Narada Maharshi is saying to us, that matters. Not all this what the modern world is offering to us. It's all completely misleading. Tektva swadharmam charanam bhujam harer bhajanna vakveda pade tado yadi yatra kava bhadram abhudamushyakim kova tayapto bhajadam sudharmada. That is the very underlying principle of Bhagavata dharmam is that. And that is what Prabhupada has repeated this verse again and again and again in the classes, saying this. But who takes note of it? It's all changed, all gone, completely gone. It's totally forgotten. If you say this to them, now they'll say, is there such a verse there? Is there in the Bhagavatam? That will be the answer for that. So anyway, try to remember this, that what Krishna's point is that when Mirabai was criticized for the whole Rajput dynasty she came from, then they say that you have destroyed the whole dynasty about Mirabai. He said, all with all your singing and dancing, because that wasn't acceptable at that time, isn't it? And Akbar was ruling at that time. He was a Muslim king at that time. And it caused a lot of uproar in the whole society. So they started saying, we never had a... At that time it was very, very rigid in the society, isn't it? It was a very rigid society that time, you have to remember that. Rajputs, they were particularly very...
the women used to perform sati at that time, when the Muslims had to fight with the Rajputs, that before they could make any contact with the women, they jumped into the fire and gave up their body. Sati was there. So system of sati. So when we present all these things in the modern world, people will think, what kind of religion is this? They keep asking this question, isn't it? And it is there in the Prabhupada's books also. And that's what we have now edited and changed everything and made it acceptable to the modern world. That's what editing has done. So the important thing is that if you read Bhagavatam also, when Prithu Maharaj gave up his body, Archis jumped into the same funeral pyre and gave up her body. And there are so many other instances, stories in the ninth canto where the same thing is happened, isn't it? So, so Mirabai was criticized for this, that you are singing and dancing and completely gone away from that. And they asked her this question, people who are born in our family, this dynasty, is this appropriate what you are doing? So, going in front of, remember that there's a story about Mirabai. She went to see Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami in Vrindavanam. So when she went there, they were initially refused her a audience with Sanatana Goswami. And it says that they say that Sanatana Goswami did not send that message. Whoever was answered that request from Mirabai came up and told her that the sannyasis don't see any women or something like that. What was Mirabai's reply? Mirabai said, there's only one man in this whole Vrindavanam, he said. Everybody else is a woman here. He said, so Mirabai's prayers, if you read, you will see there from her position when you... So if you look at from the public's position, that means the society's position, whatever they say is correct because the social etiquette and the social rules are like that. But Mira is saying to Krishna, what can I do? She says to Krishna that I'm not doing anything on my own because of me, they are all having problems. That's how she puts it to Krishna. And there will be problems because this is my nature. My nature is like this. What can I do? And I cannot live in this world not being like this. Not being like this. I have to chant the holy name and I have to sing, I have to dance in front of the deity. And without running bhajans and kirtans, I cannot live in this world. What should I do? And I don't know anything else except this, she says to Krishna. So what to do? That was her dilemma, isn't it? She was busy in reading Bhagavad Gita. She was busy in reading Srimad Bhagavatam. And this is the only thing I have read in my life. Mirabai says, these are the only two books I have read in my life. And this is the only thing what I know in my life. Nothing else. So this relationship you have to see. How a devotee situation is like that. So sometimes this issue will happen in life also. You can understand this, that that sometimes people hear Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and then they lose interest in life. Isn't it? You lose that fire inside. And then they say, well, because of hearing all these things only I've become like this. So what to do then? So you have to accept that. Yes, it is true. Because of hearing all these things, I've become so docile. No energy to do anything. I've become very, what do they call, dull in their way, eyes. In the eyes of the world, you become dull. Nothing is working, no interest in anything. Just become like that. What can be done? So sometimes people say, I understand a few things what you're saying. And some things they say, I not understood what you're saying. What can be done for that, isn't it? So keep on saying what is in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam is my prakriti. I am going on saying this, whatever that is, which I believe is right thing. So I keep saying this. What it has affected you, in which way it has affected you, I have no control over it. Is there? Same thing, what Prabhupada is saying to us, according to Prabhupada's prakriti, he is telling us that this is what it is, this is what it is, this is what it is. Keep telling us Krishna is the reality, world is not the reality. Service to Krishna is reality. Pleasing Krishna is reality. Chanting holy name is reality. We are hearing all that things, and then it affects every one of us in different ways, isn't it? Some people tried it for some time and said, oh, I wasted all my time. No, you can't blame Prabhupada for that, because that's what he believes in. He believes in that, and he's saying that to us. And he experienced it, so he's saying that to us. So similarly, as he said, I don't know anything else. This is all I know in my life. And I don't have any other qualifications in any other way either. And this is our job. That's what our job is, isn't it? So Krishna has put us in this situation, and he has created us in this way and put us in that spot. Do this. And he has given all the facilities for doing that, so you are just doing that. And therefore we are tipping. And that is why that's my niyati or somebody else's niyati, it is like that. But the after effect of all these things, that's not in our hands, not in my hands or anybody's hands. It could be good, it could be bad, it could be a mixture of both. That's how we see. In the history, if you look, you will see that some of them have turned out to be good as far as bhakti is concerned. Some of them, the after effect was bad because they had gone back. After this, they found it, they lost all the faith in the Shastra due to experiences by taking to the process. They took to the process, but due to their certain experiences, they lost all the faith in the spiritual life and religious life, and they completely moved away from that. And some other people, they were mixed. The result was mixed. Mixed in the sense, they realized it that we have to live in this world, so let me live my life. At the same time, let me keep this spiritual understanding to the best possible way. So you can always see karma brings three kinds of results in everyone. Any endeavor in this world, the result will be like these three different ways it happens. Sometimes it's good for some people, sometimes it's bad, and sometimes it's mixed. Every endeavor is like that. Good, bad, and the mixed relation. That's what Krishna is saying here. Anishtam ishtam mishramsha trividham karmana bhalam. All results of karma will be like this. In these three different ways it will come. It will come, isn't it? So you can't say it's always good, you can't say it's always bad, or you can't say it's always a mixture of both, good and bad. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, totally good, and sometimes it's mixture of both. So so the after effect of all these things is not in our hands. It can be good, it can be bad, it can be mixed. In reality, all karma is like that. All karma is like that. That is what Mirabai is saying also. He said, she says here that I'm reading these books. Which one? Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken by Shukha Brahmarshi. Sudeva Goswami spoke to Parikshit. Krishna has spoken Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. Both these personalities, Krishna and Sukadeva Goswami, both of them, in Mirabai's mind, she says, they are the best people whom she can think of. In her understanding, they are the best. And they have given these books to us to read. So I am reading them, she says. And after reading that, Mirabai says that I feel like chanting the holy name, singing the bhajans, kirtans, everything. And she said this to her, that, and this was her reply to all the Rana. The Ranas are the members of the Rajput family, her family members. She answered them like this. And in due course of time, the Ranas lost their strength, is it not? And that is how the Mughals invaded India. When they lost their power, they were the most powerful warriors of that time, Rajputs they were. And what can be done? You can't say anything. Who can be blamed for that, isn't it? So, so how can you explain these things? So see, this good and bad, all these things, is from which plane you are looking at it. Which plane you are looking at it. So if you start looking at Krishna's activities in this world, is all of them were good or all of them were bad? Which way will you analyze that? You can't say as far as these things are concerned, isn't it?
First of all, killed his uncle. Direct uncle, isn't it? Kamsa. Killed him. Nephew. And that too, not a killing how, jumped onto his chest. Remember? And Kamsa was standing there with the sword and the shield in the hand. Jumped onto his chest. And in the Bhagavatam it says, when he was jumping onto the chest, Krishna thought in his inside that the whole creation is inside me. And that is why that heavy weight that fell on Kamsa smashed him and he died on the spot. Otherwise, a 11-year-old boy, if he jumps on a person of Kamsa's physical strength, he would not happen anything. It shouldn't happen. Comes in the normal circumstances. But apparently when Krishna jumped onto Kamsa's chest, this was in his, that particular yoga siddhi called Garima. Leghima is the one when you make your body lighter. Garima is the one when you make the body heavier. And how do you make that heavy? You just have to think, the yogic power that is, yoga siddhi, Ashta Aishwarya siddhi, which Krishna discusses that in the Bhagavatam with Uddhava, in the 18th chapter, in the 11th canto. So Garima is that, he has to imagine inside that all this creation is inside me. With that thought, he jumped on Kamsa's chest and Kamsa died on the spot. So is it good or bad what he did? From one angle it's bad because he's killed his uncle. On the other angle it's good because he was a tyrant, isn't it? He killed so many people, sent away so many people, killed all other children. So, and similarly, that's one incident. Before leaving this planet, what did he do? Created a fight within the family members, made them to fight each other and destroyed the whole Yadava race before he left here. Is it good or bad? So in the same way, we can understand that all these things has its, sometimes it is difficult to say what's good or bad, but from the absolute platform, it's all good. From the material platform, it may be bad. It may appears to be bad. So, Bhagavad Gita, for example, whether it's good or bad, you have to ask that man who is running this Bhagavad Gita classes for successful business management. You have to ask him for that, to say whether it's good or bad. Then he has to tell you whether it's good or bad. So, if you look into Bhagavad Gita, and you see, is Krishna's life successful? If you look at it that way, whole life in this world was full of problems from beginning to end, is it not? There's so many interesting things about Krishna. You have to look at so many other aspects also. When whole childhood, instead of going to school, was busy with stealing. Stealing was the major occupation, up to 5-6 years old. Stealing butter, milk, and spending the time with the gopis and pass his time. When after Kamsa was killed, Vasudeva calls him and tells him this. He says to him, look, you have not even learned how to write Hari Shri. Even the alphabets you have not learned. That's how we start the alphabet, isn't it? Hari Shri. So even that alphabets you have not learned. And you are 11 years old. 11 years old he was when he killed Kamsa. In the 12th year I think it happened. Up to 12, you have not gone to school till now. You have not learned any, even alphabets you have not learned. All you have been doing is wandering around with that women in Vrindavan, stealing their butter and cheese, having a good time with them. What else have you done? They're asking. That is up to 12. After that what started? Kamsa was killed uncle, first thing. Then subsequently, problems coming from everywhere. Ugrasena had serious problems. Ugrasena was put onto the throne, and for administration purposes, he installed Uddhava as the prime minister. After installing Uddhava as prime minister, then the problems began. Then this marriage started. Marriage started, problems started. Wherever Krishna has gone for the marriage, all the other Kshatriya princes were finding it difficult
to find, to marry anybody. There was nobody. All the girls wanted to marry Krishna. In that process, for the first 8 marriages, if you look, starting from Rukmini, Satyavama, Janbhavati, Satya, Bhadra, Lakshmana, all of them, if you look at them, you will see that they were all one in different situations. Different situations. Everywhere, the marriage was not, they were directly handed over to Krishna. All of them were one beating others, isn't it? Rukmini, to get Rukmini, Krishna had to practically go through a whole battle with Balaram helping from that marriage of winning Rukmini is not proper marriage. It is called Rakshasam. Rakshasam means it's Asuric it is. Krishna goes there and forcefully kidnap Rukmini and taking her away. It is Rakshasam it is. You know there are different types of marriages, isn't it? Gandharvam, Rakshasam, Asuram, like that. So this particular vivaham is different kinds of vivaham. Properly arranged marriage, that is normal vivaham. But the other types of vivaham also exist, marriages. So the first marriage itself was Rakshasam. Rakshasic marriage it is. Going and kidnapping Rukmini from there. And then, have you heard of any marriage like this? Then Rukmini's brother follows. And then wanted to kill him also. Before entering Dwaraka, in place called Kundinam, he comes there. And Rukmini has taken the vow that I'll get Rukmini back and only then I'll come back. Rukmini wants to marry Krishna. So he decided to kidnap Rukmini and brought her there. And in Kundinam, this battle happened between Krishna and Rukmini. And finally, Krishna decided to kill Rukmini. It's only because Rukmini interfered in that Krishna spared his life. Krishna spared his life. Otherwise, Rukmini would have been killed at the very minute. Then they came to Dwaraka. The marriage was celebrated. Sri Narada Maharshi and Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Devi, all of them came for the marriage, Krishna's first marriage. From then on, look at, if you read Bhagavatam, we won't go through it now because it's so much time. All the other 7 marriages, the major 8 wives, not one of them were married in a normal way, what we call as normal. When Lakshmana was married, the last marriage, all other princes were present there. Shishubala, Jarasandha, they were all there. Krishna beat them all. In that particular test, what was given to all the princes, they all failed, Krishna won that. Then when Satya was to be married, there was the 7 bulls, they were presented before, and the king said that we have taken a vow that only that person who is capable of controlling all the 7 bulls at the same time will be able to marry. All others, kings tried, they all failed, they couldn't do it. Krishna expanded himself into 7 different forms, and because of the past experience, as the cowherd boy, he knew how to handle with the bulls, he controlled them all, and then he was handed over, Satya was married to him. Jambavati was performing penances in the Kalindi river bank. Krishna and Arjuna goes there one day, wandering around in the forest, so sees this beautiful girl. Arjuna, seeing her, was attracted by her. So Krishna sends the situation. Krishna says to Arjuna, go and find out what she wants. So Arjuna goes and asks Kalindi. She asks her, ask Kalindi, what are you doing here? Why are you alone sitting here? She says, I am worshipping the sun god and I am expecting this blessing from him, and he has given me these blessings that I will only marry Krishna. Then after that, Arjuna couldn't say anything. Arjuna goes back and says to Krishna, she has taken this vow and got this benediction from sun god, that Kalindi will only marry Krishna. Krishna says, okay, bring her, and Krishna takes her to Dwaraka. Kalindi was taken to Dwaraka. When he was taken to Dwaraka, Kunti Devi and others sensed that here, Krishna is coming with another wife now. Already there was Rukmini, there was Satyabhama, there was Jambavati, and now Kalindi also joined, 4th wife. So every time when Krishna was returning from a tour, when they come back to the palace, the palace members, all the women there, they were a little bit skeptical. Who is he coming now with? So these 8 marriages happened in this way. If you remember Bhagavatam, if you read, you will see so many interesting things like that. Interesting in the sense that in all states, that Ishwaratvam in Krishna, that I am the controller, there is no movement in that inside any time. So many things Krishna has done. From the society point of view, if you look at it, all this, you may have so many opinions about it. But that's immaterial. That's not valid here. That's why while studying Bhagavatam, without knowing who Krishna is, if you look at Krishna, you will see a lot of difficulties there. So, and after this, you can see Rukmini's marriage. After that, what? All beating up each other. What a marriage, isn't it? Marriage is over. Immediately after that, the whole marriage party is beating up each other. What do you think about that? Inside the marriage party, there's a big split. Rukmini's group and Krishna's group, Balram's group. Balram has come fully prepared for that, to help brother, younger brother. So has come fully prepared for that with the army. And Rukmini had the full support of all the other princes. You have to remember that. Jarasandha, Shishupala, Dandavatra, and so many, Naragasura, they're all his friends. Their armies had come to fight. So there was a big fight after the Rukmini's marriage. And similarly, so many fights happened. Jambavadi story, you know what happens, isn't it? Satrajit gave 7th of the jewel to his brother Prasena. And Krishna asked, he won't give it. He gave it to his brother. And he always had the fear that Krishna will steal it from me. So what happened then? Prasena wore that jewel in his neck and went for hunting in the forest. A lion saw the beauty of that jewel and beat him to death, Prasena, and took that jewel and went away. When the lion took the jewel and was walking away, Jambavan saw that. When Jambavan was a very powerful personality, he beat up that lion, killed the lion and took the jewel, and he took it to his cave where he was living. His daughter was there, Jambavati, and gave it to one child there who was there, and gave the child to play with it. And the news spread all over Dwaraka that Krishna has stolen the Samantaka jewel. Satrajit left a rumor like that, and the rumor spread everywhere. Krishna had a bad name that he was responsible for the theft of Samantaka jewel. So Krishna wanted to sort that out. When he knew that Prasena went to the forest with the jewel, went to the forest, followed up, found Prasena's body lying somewhere. Then he knew that the lion has taken it. All he managed to find that out and followed up that, and he knew that after a while he saw the lion's body lying there. And then he found out that Jambavan had the jewel. So a lot of people have gone with Krishna to the forest to get rid of this bad name. So when they were in front of the cave, Krishna says to them, that I'm going inside, you don't have to come inside. If you don't see me for 21 days, you can go home. Krishna warned them. And they waited outside. He went inside. And when inside, he saw the jewel there. A boy, child was playing with that. Krishna went and started speaking to the child to give the jewel. The child won't give the jewel back. Jambavati was inside. Jambavan's daughter, Jambavati was inside. Jambavati saw another person has come inside our house like that. And who is this person? But while looking at him, he looks very attractive. Jambavati was naturally a little bit attracted to Krishna. That time she reported back to her father, to Jambavan, that somebody has come into the... And Jambavan is by now very, very, very old. You have to remember, Jambavan was living at the time of Lord Ramchandra. By now he is so old, his eyes and all eyelids were all dropping. He couldn't even see properly. No eye test, nothing done. Nothing was working. His eyes were all dropping off like that. So he couldn't see anything. But so because he couldn't see anything, he knew somebody was there, Jambavati has reported. As soon as he came, without asking anything, he started punching on Krishna. He was a very strong person, Jambavan, isn't it? Like Hanuman, he was a powerful personality in the Ramayana war. He started punching Krishna. Krishna also gave him back some good punches. In the Bhagavatam it says very well that Jambavan, after some time, Jambavan started realizing, this is not an ordinary person who is punching me.
21 days they fought each other without food and without sleep. Who? Krishna and Jambavan fought inside. Finally, 21st day, Jambavan realized it. This is somebody who is known to me. It's nobody like this before I have fought with. And Jambavan, with a lot of struggle, looked at the form present in front of him and asked for forgiveness and said that, "Are you Ramachandra?" He asked him. That's how he put the question. "Are you Ramachandra?" So Krishna say, gave him the memory of Ramachandra's time. Talking about Trayayugam, what happened. That memory come back to Jambavan. And Jambavan wanted to marry Jambavati to Ramachandra. That is the history goes back. And Ramachandra told Jambavan, "In this life, in this appearances, Ramachandra, I have taken this vow that I will have only one wife." And that was already Sita Devi was there. "You may have to wait until I come next time. And in the next time when I come, I will be accepting many, many women as my wives. And Jambavati will be there in that." So since then, Jambavati and Jambavan has been living. What is interesting there is that Balaram used to make fun of Krishna. "How old is your wife?" This was the question from Balaram. Balaram and Krishna also used to make fun of Balaram. Because Balaram married Revati. You know what happened to Revati? Revati's father, Kugudmi, wanted to find a husband for Revati. So he went to Brahmalokam. When he went to Brahmalokam, and when he came back, the time difference is there, isn't it? Not like the way zonal difference like in this planet, but there's a time difference. Brahmalokam, one moment, here it is thousands of years, is it not? So when Kukudmi went there, and there was some musical concert going on in Satyalokam. So Brahma told him, "You have to wait. I will discuss with you when the concert is over." Because Brahma was enjoying the music. In the best way, he could enjoy that music. So after the concert was over, Brahma called him and asked him, what's the matter? He said, "My daughter is ready for the marriage. She has to be married and I'm looking for a husband. And if you can recommend somebody among the kings who are present there or instruct them to marry Revati," that was her name. Brahma says to him, "Those kings whom you are talking about, they were long, long ago gone. They are not there. So many yugams have gone since then." But Revati didn't get old because she was in the Brahmalokam. Therefore, she remained young. Now, as far as I know, there is one Balaram there whom you can go and approach her and he will marry her. Brahma told Kugudmi. And then they come back and Balaram married Revati later. So whenever Balaram raised this issue of Jambavati, Krishna will raise the issue of Revati. And after that, between the two brothers, there was an agreement, we won't ask each other anymore about the age of your wife, age of their wives. That's how that issue was sorted. Otherwise, there was no other way it could be sorted. So you can see here that Rukmini's marriage also, that... you will see that Rukmini's marriage in the Bhagavatam, when you read, you will see so many interesting things along with that. So Krishna is giving us a message there that nothing will be perfect in this world and proper. It's not possible here to be in a perfect state. So many interesting things in that Rukmini's marriage if you look at. You know what happened there? Balaram comes and says to Krishna, "Krishna, what have you done? Who is this Rukmi? Your brother-in-law, isn't it? He's a member of our family, is it not? And Rukmini is your wife, and he is her brother. And you have such a close relationship with him, and you are trying to kill him. How can you justify this?" So, because Rukmini Devi and Balaram put pressure on Krishna, Krishna didn't kill him, Rukmi. Instead, there is a system that if you shave him up, and make you ugly by shaving in a particular way, you make a person very ugly and leave him, it is as good as killing him. So that's what they did to Rukmi, isn't it? So Balaram said to Krishna, "He is our relative, you should not kill him."
And what happened later? Krishna made Balaram himself to kill Rukmi. Aniruddha's marriage happened. At that time, what happened was that Balaram went to play dice there. And Rukmi and his other friends, they come joined together and they started that all the time they said, Rukmi has won, Balaram has lost. From the sky, there was an announcement, don't say this again, that Balaram has won. If you keep saying this, there will be terrible consequences of that. Again, they repeated, who? Rukmi and his friends. They kept playing this dice in such a way that every time they said that Balaram has lost. Not only that, they said that Balaram is a cowherd boy. He shouldn't be playing these things with the Kshatriyas. Their ego inside. At that time, Balaram thought this has gone too far. He asked for his motor and the plow and smashed him and killed him on the spot. Earlier, the same Balaram told Krishna not to do anything because he is your brother-in-law. And Krishna used Balaram to kill Rukmi. That is how Krishna's activities are. Very difficult to understand what is behind it, isn't it? So, if you understand all these things in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will know that it is not possible to be perfect. Even if in Krishna's life it is not perfect, what chance is there in our life it's going to be perfect? The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Absolute Truth Himself, is showing to us that there is no perfection possible. So, if you look at Krishna's life in that way, in this way if you analyze it, where was the peace in that life? It was always a battle throughout the life. If there was no battle, then Krishna goes to Hastinapur to start the biggest battle, Mahabharata war, isn't it? And for Rajasuyam sacrifice, he had to kill Jarasandha. Then Shishupala, Dandavatra, Salva, Naragasura, Bana, Krishna's whole life, there is not one day Krishna had some peace, isn't it? Samba goes and fights there to get Lakshmana. Then with the whole army, Krishna, Balaram all together goes to Hastinapur. One son is giving this trouble. Grandson goes and wants to marry Usha, Banasura's daughter. He goes there, he doesn't come back. Narada Maharshi comes and says to Krishna, again, with the whole army, Krishna says, where is the peace in my life? He says. If you go and ask, says to Krishna, I have no peace in my life, so many problems everywhere. Krishna says, my life was also like that. There is no difference in Krishna's life either, isn't it? There was no peace at all in Krishna's life. If you look at Krishna's life, he had no peace. Either problem with the sons, they were creating problem, or through the grandsons. Pradyumna, problem. Aniruddha, problem. Samba, problem. They were all Kshatriya kings, they were. They were all going and kidnapping girls here, there. What can you say to Samba? Samba, why you are doing this? He will say to you, what did you do with Rukmini? What will you answer then? So, Krishna has to digest all these things, isn't it? And he had to accept all these things. What is indicating to us is, in all these things, in perfection of life is not possible. These are, life is like that. That is the very nature of like this. That is what Krishna is saying here. So, after saying, Nahi deha prada shakyam, coming back to Bhagavad Gita, Tiktam karmani asheshada, yastu karma bhalatyagi, satyagi tabithiyade. So, there is a book, you may have, you can Google, get that book. It's an interesting book. It's called 1 Minute Wisdom. I don't know whether you have come across that book. Yeah. 1 Minute Wisdom, it says. And there is a story in that book. It's an interesting story, it says here. One rabbi, he goes to the heavens. Goes to the heaven. And Father in the heaven asked him, you are such a nice person, you have done all good things in life, and therefore I brought you back to the heaven, he said to him. So Rabbi says to him, still I have some problem myself, he said. What's your problem? So everybody is saying that I am a saint, I am a Mahatma and all that. But my son has left the Jewish religion and he has become a Christian. And when I think about that, because this is how modern religions are, isn't it? He has left the Jewish religion and he has become a Christian. And when I think about that, I feel very heartbroken. I feel very miserable, he said. So at that time, the Father in the heaven said to him, my son has also gone. He has also become a Christian. He's talking about Jesus. He has also become a Christian. I can't do anything about it, the Father said to him. So you can see this, the same thing in Krishna's appearance also. In Krishnavataram, you will see all these kind of interesting things. Then he says, Krishna says, that about my children also, what can I do? They have also gone and done all these things. So it's not only your son and your daughter is giving you trouble. My son and my daughters are also giving me trouble. I can't do anything about it, he says there. So to think that life will be very perfect. Family life will be perfect. Children will all be perfect. And job will be perfect. House will be perfect. Everywhere we are looking for perfection, it's only a dream. It is not going to happen. You are struggling to make it perfect all the time. And on the other side, bomb is blasting. It's like Syria. Bomb is going on in so many different places in your householder life, isn't it? One side you are trying to make it perfect everywhere, but everywhere the bomb is blasting off. So this perfection is only a dream. It's only a dream. There is no such thing as perfection here. You come here, you got a body. Because the body is there, you have some relationship with others through the body. It's through the body that relationship is, isn't it? Because that relationship is there and you are living in the society, you have to do something here. And whether it's good or bad, what the after effect is, you can't help it. So many things will happen in that flow of life, in the flow of life. So that perfection is not there in Ramchandra's life, is not there in Krishna's life either. Because perfection is only in Atma, not in the life, not in the body, not in this material nature. There is no perfection in material nature, there is no perfection in the body, there is no perfection in the existence of this body in the material nature. If you are looking for perfection anywhere in any of these things, you will be heartbroken. You will be beating your chest at the end, saying, what should I do? They will come. Not to look for perfection is intelligence. Whatever that happens, accept it that way. That is the intelligent thing to do. Whatever it may be. It may be a marriage, it may be a divorce, children may go in their own ways. So many things will happen in life. But if you start taking all that seriously and trying to control over the situation, it's not going to work. It will not happen. Because this is the... if you look into the life of great Mahatmas, great personalities also, you will see the same thing, how they dealt with their own life. So, whatever problems, how much problem Ramana Maharshi had in his ashram, unbelievable problems he had. And he had his own personal problems from his family side, from family members, from the society, and from his own so-called devotees or disciples. All of them gave him trouble, one way or the other, isn't it? The same thing, you can look at others' life also. Other great saints, Prabhupada's life you look, family gave enough trouble. Is it not? Family has given enough trouble. Wife has given trouble. Children have trouble. But initially we all think that it can all be brought together and brought under perfection. Family will remain as a unit and family members will all be loving and caring each other. It's all utopian thing. It's not going to work like that. And any Mahatma, if you look in their life, you will see the same thing happening. What purpose has it all been spoken? Because with this body, to be happy in this world at any time is impossible. Right? Any time is impossible. With this body as your possession, living in this prakriti, and to remain any time in perfection is impossible. Is impossible. Why? Because this perfection you're looking for is not in the body, it is inside. Perfection is inside. Where? In the Atma. In the soul, that is where the perfection is.
Whereas we are trying to make perfect everything in the world. Is it not? That's what the life is all about. You can see how people live in this world. They when they have a lot of wealth, and they, when they want their prestige, they get married, the daughters or sons to other families with the equal reputation. In that way, they develop relationships with the among the rich family members, rich people and all that. Suddenly some bomb goes off in the same family. And this happens in the royal family, it happens in the ordinary person's life also. Is it not? If you look in the royal family's life, has it not happened? How many times has it happened? Is it not? With all their wealth, with all their position and fame, these things are happening there also. Is it not? So, perfection is not a part of this life. Earlier we realized that in life, the better. So that you don't put unnecessarily endeavor in that direction, thinking that it's going to be perfect. So, because unless you free yourself from this body and from the mind, freedom from the body and freedom from the mind has to happen first. Without that thing, till you are attached to this body and this bodily identity, if you get it, that you will, till you come out of it, this perfection, you will never know what perfection is. Perfection is in the Atma, alone, nowhere else. Only in Atma there is perfection. So that is why Vedic literature is saying to us, Bhagavad Gita is also saying to us in that second chapter, that at least before death, isn't it? See that verse? Last verse, yeah. Esham Brahmi Sthiti Partha. And what is the interesting side of that is, he says that Esham Brahmi Sthiti Partha Nainam Prapya Vimukhyati Stitva Asyam Andhakalebi Brahma Nirvana Marchari. Andhakalebi Brahma Nirvana Marchari, he said. Stitva Asyam Andhakalebi Brahma Nirvana Marchari. That at least at the time of death, one should come back to his spiritual identity. Stitva Asyam Andhakalebi Brahma Nirvana Marchari. That is the most important thing there. Esha, what is that state? Brahmi Sthiti. Brahmi Sthiti means identification with Brahman, who you are, who I am. That awareness must come to us at least at the time of death. Brahma Nirvana Murchadi Nainam Prapya Vimukhyadi. That is the way of the spiritual and godly life, after attaining which a man is not bewildered. If one is thus situated, even at the hour of death, one can enter into the Kingdom of God. So that's what Krishna is saying here also. That so trying to looking for perfection in this body, perfection in this world, perfection in this life is a waste of time. And when you realize this, Brahmi Sthiti happens to a person, what happens? Then you realize that you are akhandam. Akhandam means that you are not limited to this body. You are perfect. Purnada is there in that body. And you realize that you are Chaitanyam, living force, not the body. And also, you don't have birth and death. All this is happens at the same time. That you are not, when this Brahmi Sthiti happens to a person, he realizes that he is not limited to the body, number one. He is not limited to the body. Akhandam it is. He also realizes that there is no such thing as that he is purely a spirit soul, living force it is, Chaitanyam, in other words, consciousness or awareness. He comes to that realization. He realizes that in that state he is perfect. There is no imperfections there. In the bodily identity there is imperfection. Identification with Brahmi Sthiti or in the spiritual state, realized state, consciousness state, there is no imperfection there. So you realize that you are not limited to the body. Akhandatva comes. You realize that you are pure living force, not that your Chaitanyam, in other words, and there is total perfection there. You realize that perfection there. Number two. Number three, there is no such thing called birth and death. Us gone. Who has the birth and death? Jiva has the birth and death. Subtle body has birth and death. Atma has no birth, no death either.
So all these things happens at the same time. So that is why Krishna is saying here that Swarupam, Krishna says that I am, my nature, eternal, blissful and full of knowledge. That full of knowledge is that full of perfection, what we call it. Full of knowledge, proper realization, who I am, that is knowledge. Who I am, that is knowledge. Krishna is always full of knowledge, isn't it? Krishna knows who I am. Krishna is, isn't it? Always in the state of Atma. In Srimad Bhagavatam, if you read in many places, you will see this. Krishna saying this. He spoke about this in the... You have to seriously read Bhagavatam. Only then you will find it. Particularly in the 10th canto, in several instances, Krishna is saying, I know who I am. To speak that. Who know, knowing well who I am and speaking from that state. And that is spoken in several instances in the Bhagavatam. As and when there is an opportunity to remind us, Shuka Brahmarshi will bring it out. That is how it is in the Bhagavatam. He will be telling the story all the time. But while speaking the story, whenever there is an opportunity to remind us who we are, he will not miss that opportunity. And that is why in many, many studi, Akrura studi, if you read, you will see Akrura saying this. That realization coming to him. Krishna gave him that realization, who he is. Uddhava, same thing. Gopis, same thing. They are all speaking that, including Vasudeva and Devaki, Sri Narada Maharshi. Many, many people in the Bhagavatam, you will notice, they are all saying that. Through their mouth, the same realization comes out for our benefit. That has been spoken like that. So I think we will stop there today. It's almost 11:30, isn't it? And we will continue, not next weekend, but the weekend after. And if there is any change in the program, it's always better to look on the website, because it may not be possible always to inform everybody, because sometimes it's impossible, even on the phone number or availability and all that. So kindly look in the website. If there is any change, it will be in the website. Otherwise, always look at the website, please. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.